want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Man, I had a great weekend.
I knew it all along. I got news for you.
I know you did.
I knew it all along that the White Devil would not let me down.
I'd like to thank Sammy Sosa for sitting on his hands during the home run race and making it possible for Dennis Murphy to come to my house 1 week from last Saturday.
Let's play this music one last time.
There it is. Yeah, the final tote.
And Mike, I'm going to be taking the home run race plaque home with me, putting it on my wall.
As it should be.
With the final total, Mark McGwire, buddy, 65.
There it is.
Sammy Sosa, buddy, 63. We want to thank International Collector Society.
What a great way of keeping total that was.
Yes, at www.icsnow.com, they made us this beautiful 21st century home run race plaque that we've been using for the last 7 freaking months.
What you should do is put a little super glue into the back of it to commemorate the final score. What? 65 from Mark
63.
McGwire. 63.
Right.
63. Sammy came up too short.
It's over.
It's over now.
It's finally over. 7 months. It's over.
And
I am a big, fat winner.
And I began to prepare myself last week.
Yes.
Mentally.
Yes.
For this eventuality.
He's not coming to my house.
He's coming to my house.
Yes!
He's going to your house.
He's not coming to your house, Buzz.
He's not coming to my
He's
house.
He's not fouling my sheets. He's not eating my food. He's not watching my TV.
He's coming.
He won't know where I live.
He's coming to my house. And that last one you mentioned right there.
Yeah,
there's a. I've given that some thought, too.
Good.
I'm actually going to. I'm thinking about all the logistics.
Well, you know, you could meet him at the station and blindfold him and drive him to your house.
I don't think I'm going to blindfold him, but I think that what I'm going to do is maybe like put a bag over his head. And I think I might meet. I'm not going to meet him as far as the station, but I'm going to meet him at a gas station near my house.
That's fair.
I think that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, 7 long months, and it's finally all over.
We were talking about the kids and how the kids are going to handle this, and
yes.
You know, at one point it was suggested by my friend Brett, who stayed over this past weekend with his wife. He said, why don't you just tell him that the cartoon man is coming?
Hey, there you go.
Say the cartoon man's coming. The cartoon man's coming to your house. Kids, are you excited? But I can't lie to my kids like that.
No.
I can't lie and then they'll realize that the cartoon man isn't all that nice.
So are you going to ship the kids off like to your mother-in-law or something?
I think my wife has graciously volunteered to take the kids away for that Saturday night.
Well, no. You know, I think technically that your wife should be in on this. That was part of the deal.
Yeah, but I don't know what I don't know if we're going to be able to work that out. But I'll let you know if we can work that out. I'm not sure whether it'll be possible. He's coming to my house.
I know,
okay?
But I just wanted. I think it was part of the deal,
right?
That it was dinner with the family, and that we agreed,
yes,
that the children's would be left out of it.
Well,
right,
we'll
right.
see what happens. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'll let you know.
It's got to be
know.
You and the missus.
All right. It'll be me and the missus.
All right.
It'll be me and the missus.
All right.
Okay.
Countdown now to dinner. Just 5
yes.
days, Mike.
Absolutely. Looking
five
forward
days.
To it.
I want to tell you something. I'm a huge loser in my Titanic bet. I'm
right.
going to have to shave my head on the 1st of January.
Mm.
I'm a huge loser in fantasy football.
Yes.
I've not won a game yet. Mark Brunell threw for 85 yards. What a woman he is over the weekend.
Okay.
But all of that pales in comparison
yes.
right. to the fact that he's not coming to my house
I
this
know.
Weekend.
I'm happy for
God,
him.
That's the one bet that I didn't want to lose. Out of all those bets, that's the one I didn't want to lose.
Well, you know, it's...
That's the big McGilla.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I tried to prepare myself. I was not prepared. I was. I woke up Sunday morning.
You can't.
And I just felt bad about it. No, actually, I woke up this morning feeling bad about it. I just said...
Sunday morning, you still had a chance.
Yeah, but not remote. If, you know, I was... You know what? Really, going into the weekend, I was... I knew it was going to happen, and it was just a question of whether, because Sammy, you know, had to jack too,
right?
You know, to make it happen, and I just knew it was going to happen this way. I knew it was going to happen this way, and so, you know, it'll be a nice dinner. I'll meet him like at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Take him driving to my house, and my wife and I will entertain him.
Thank you, and we thank you for that.
You'll be happy to know that if my wife stays, there's a good chance the children will stay as well.
Well, lock them in their rooms. I don't want to be responsible
for
the psychological damage done by your sweet children if they see Dennis.
Oh, man, no, that's going to be tough. I think that we can put that, you know, their bedtime is 8:30 anyway, 8:30. Uh-huh. Elizabeth, right. It's actually earlier, 7:30. So if I pick Dennis up at 8 o'clock, the kids can conceivably be down for sleep before he gets to the house. Which is exactly what I'm going to try.
How will you handle Sunday morning?
That is terrifying to me. That is terrifying. He's supposed to be out at 8 a.m.
8 a.m., that was the time that we agreed to.
Breakfast in bed.
Uh-huh.
I'm just working it out as I go.
You will.
Breakfast in bed means he stays in the guest room.
Oh, you won't let him out of the bedroom all morning?
Not until everybody is in their designated locations. Yeah. Then Laura will take the kids downstairs to play. And at that moment, I will expertly whisk Dennis. That's a challenge to me.
Sure.
I'll discuss that with my wife tonight. But I don't see, I am not going to let Dennis Murphy, because, you know, really, it's more important for her to be with the kids than it is to ship them off somewhere. Right. And so that's it. And if we get Dennis walking through the door at 8:30, I meet him at 8 o'clock, and then we get him out. I'll even go so far as to say 8:30, because I know it was the 8 a.m. to 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I want to be a stand-up guy. We're gonna add
8:30 p.m. to 8:30 a.m.
We're going to add a half hour on that.
You're a good man.
I will make sure that he sleeps soundly.
You're a good man. And do you know that we will hear all of these events happening?
Yes.
1 week from today.
That's great.
Because Mike's going to bring a tape recorder with him this weekend home.
I will tape the moment of walking into the house. I will tape the evening meal. I will tape the recreation after the meal, which will consist of perhaps a second-tier film that we will watch together. Then I will...
Are you going to tuck Dennis in?
I will give Dennis... I have got it really in my mind worked out. Here's what... And now I'm going to go back to the cartoon man. When the cartoon man comes to the house, he will walk in, and then we're going to eat immediately.
Okay.
And I will give Dennis wine with dinner. I will give Dennis whatever he wishes.
I hope you have plenty of wine on tap for yourself.
I will, there's an out shot. Maybe my wife picks Dennis up because I'll be
in
no shape to drive. But no, I will pick Dennis up and then bring him to the house. We will have a very nice dinner, followed by an after-dinner drink, then more drinks as we watch whatever film. Dennis and I do share an enjoyment of
A love of the grape.
And that, to me, is the only thing that's going to make this even mildly passable. So you'll hear that when Dennis comes over. Dennis, you know, I'll have a series of films. You know, we'll do that pay-per-view thing, and we'll ask Dennis.
I'll let him pick the movie he wants
to
see.
I'd like to pick Analyze This, a nice comedy, you know, nothing.
Right.
I don't want to watch anything with any high sexual content.
And
with
you certainly
Dennis.
Don't want something like that Tom Hanks movie that's 3 hours long.
No,
I mean, you want a nice 90-minute film.
Then, for after that is completed, it'll be milk and cookies for Dennis.
Good.
This is just what I envision. A little glass of warm milk, you know, so he sleeps soundly.
Right.
Then that will be the first time that he will see his room. And then he will go to his room, the room that will already have the plastic sheets on the bed. You know, the special. He's got his own bathroom, which is real good. I mean, that to me, I'm real happy about that. He's got his own little room.
You have to bring the guys in the Ghostbuster suits in after he uses that bathroom, I'm sure.
He'll go in there, and the last tape part you'll hear is, good night, Dennis. Good night. And then, you know, if my wife and I, because I like Dennis, do you think it's inappropriate for Dennis to have a bedtime? I believe it's my home, and I can tell Dennis when to go to bed.
You set the rules.
All right, then Dennis will go to bed at the end of the movie, after his milk and cookies.
Like 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Giving my wife and I some quiet time to, you know, really just bawl our eyes out.
And who knows how this is going to play out, but I imagine when you tuck Dennis in.
Right, and that's what I will tuck him in.
It'll be much like when we try to get him off the telephone. You're going to say, good night, Dennis. You're
right.
Gonna, good night, Mike. And then it'll be, oh, Mike.
Right.
One more, Mike.
And if we stay up, for a couple of hours, you know, and just, you know, and we're going to bed a little later on, maybe I'll just put my ear on the door. And if I do hear that song of the wood, I'll try to get maybe a little of that for you.
You know, there is the chance, there is the outside chance that you two will bond
mm-hmm.
and you will actually want to spend more time with Dennis.
You know something? You know, really, I could laugh and joke about this, but no, I'll tell you, no.
No
way. No, absolutely not. No way. And well, then the morning will be breakfast in bed. You know, I've always wanted to give them breakfast in bed.
That's nice.
Pancakes, some sausage. You know, I'm going to give him a big glass of orange juice, and during that time, he will have a standing order. He has a bedtime, and he is not allowed to come out of his room until I come and get him. They're going to be
even if he has a bad dream or something.
There are going to be a million rules. I mean, I've got a list of rules that I'm going to give Dennis for this whole deal. You know, the rule about where I pick him up, the rule about what, you know, I don't want him saying anything he's not going to say. You know, I want to make sure he knows the rules.
Well, you are entitled to make the list. This
right.
has been 7 months of pressure building up on both of us.
As much as I'm bummed that I lost, this might have, just the way it was.
Our greatest bet ever?
I think it was the greatest bet ever.
I believe so.
It was really a wonderful wager.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's over. And thank God I've won. Thank God. Listen, let this
I lost my golf tournament over the weekend, too. You know, I was leading going into yesterday, and I lost the golf. You know, I was sitting there yesterday just sitting on the couch in like a zombie state. Laura came in and said, "How you doing?" I'm like, okay.
And you notice I didn't call you until late last night.
And you were actually you had to call me, and I expected the call. And it was, you know, it was just the call to say, hey. You know, it was the final, I'm almost glad you called me because it softened the blow of having to walk into the office today. But you made that bad, too. But who likes to lose?
Hey.
Who likes to lose any bet?
No. I haven't played as poorly as I could.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I have been aware of your brittle feelings on
I understand.
This. Much
I
the
understand.
Way I hope that you would have been aware of my brittle feelings.
I understand.
My God, if I hadn't won, there'd be a good chance it would be blood on the inside of my car to the
home.
A piece of advice for all you youngsters out there, take it from me.
Right.
Always bet on the American. You never go wrong betting on the good old red, white, and blue.
Oh, God, I'll tell you right now, man. I think really that all along, I think that Dennis will have a very good time at my house. I think I will make sure that he enjoys it. That's the bottom line.
Do you realize
that? But I don't see any reason. Do you see any reason for my children to have to meet the cartoon man?
No.
I see no reason for that.
And listen, my kid is much older than yours, mm-hmm. and my son didn't want anything to do with it either if we lost.
No need. You know, I'd rather have my kids there, because then, you know, as soon as we get Dennis out of there, you know.
The kids will go, "Daddy, what's that smell?"
Yeah.
"Daddy, why does the guest room smell so bad?"
I might actually, you know what I might do? I might actually put the kids down earlier on Saturday night. That's exactly what I'm
going to do. Like about 5. Give
8:30.
Give them lots of tussin.
Yeah, lots of tussin. Because 8:30 is just too, you know, because with kids we get up early. Just too far. That's too much stress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather have them in.
You might want to keep them up all night Friday night.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
You might think
that's
that keeping
exactly
them up all night Friday night.
That's a great idea.
So that, like, they're zonked out like by 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Give you and the missus a chance to fumigate the house.
And I'm giving Dennis, Dennis said peanut butter and jelly. No, gonna make him a nice steak dinner on Saturday night.
Excellent.
And a nice bottle of wine.
I can't tell you how many people at the Redskins game yesterday came up to me talking about this bet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I thought at one point some guy was goofing with me, a guy that works for the Redskins staff said, you know, they're going to put it up on the big Jumbotron.
Right.
And I said, are they really? Oh, I can't wait for this.
He was busting your chops.
They put up on the Jumbotron McGuire 65,
right.
Sosa 63.
Right.
I thought they were going to put, you know, Dennis Murphy to spend the night in Mike's house.
Oh, man.
Boy. Lots of people interested in this
bet. Yeah, a lot of people were following this. And so... You know, I'm prepared. I will make it as pleasant as I can, but we will meet at a neutral location. I'm not, that's right. I will simply blindfold him.
Jimbo. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Knew it all along.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Well, you knew that would happen. Hi.
Yeah, keep it together, Mike.
Hi, sorry.
Man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike, I just wanted to bust your chops because you easily could have won this.
How?
How could he have won? It's not like he's hitting the home runs.
The first day that Don offered you the bet was McGuire would hit 70 again, and then you changed it, making it a Sosa versus McGuire. You screwed up right from the beginning.
Well, you know, the difference between you and me,
You suck.
No, you remember that. You remember that. That's how pathetic you are.
I didn't remember that myself.
I didn't remember that.
No, boy, man. Am I glad you didn't take me up on that.
That's for sure.
Holy cheese and crackers.
No, I don't remember that. But some people, I guess, do remember that if they are lacking a life.
Well, if you remember how the bet really came down, we really couldn't decide what to bet until Frida called in, and she came up with the idea of having Dennis spend the night at one of our houses.
Right, right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
So you can blame her.
Well, I still think that there, you know, it was worse for me when I had to dye my hair blonde.
You know, I've done a lot of thinking about that, and I told people over the weekend, I really mean this, if given the choice, and I was facing both of having to shave my head, which I'm going to have to do on the 1st of January, or have Dennis come to stay at my house for a night.
Right.
The thought of shaving my head is so much better than having Dennis come to spend the night.
Well, I should point out to you that that's also in January. So you might feel like, the night before we all come back to work, you're probably going to just feel a little bit different about that.
Maybe so.
Yeah, just a little bit because the...
Maybe so.
You know, as the beard and the hair comes off...
I don't know. I'll just have to think back about Dennis spending the night at your house.
Use that.
Maybe feel a little better.
Use that to make you feel better.
A little motivation.
You know, it's like, you didn't... You know, it'd be one thing... That would have meant that every major bet for the year...
I would be a big loser on all the bets.
In the loss column. But, you know, and the reason that you lost the bet for the hair is because I wasn't involved with it. See, if I'd been involved with it, it's a slam dunk. You would have won that.
Hello, Chuck.
Yeah, hi.
Chuck, buddy. Up, Chuck.
Hey, Mike, you think Dennis is going to get on his room?
Well, those are, you know, you remember what I meant? Remember when I mentioned the rules? That's going to be one of the rules.
No sex rule?
But yeah, no,
what if it's involventary during the middle of the night?
If it's involuntary, that's what, you know, that's what bleach is for. You know, and
is
I'll
TV with pay-per-view in it?
You know, I'm not, you know, as a matter of fact, I would say I was going to inspect the sheets, but it's not.
No.
The sheets are going to be thrown out.
Burn them.
So it doesn't matter. We're going to put sheets on that are like on their last legs anyway, you know. Perhaps sheets that the kids have had a problem with, you know, and then they'll be gone. You know, but there will be plastic underneath.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, what do you think chances are Dennis is going to be kind of like Bill Murray in What About Bob after this is over?
You know, I think we've been slamming Dennis an awful lot here, but Dennis is not into that area. Dennis is not going to be somebody. He really basically does what he's told.
So you don't think that Sunday night he's going to be coming back for dinner again?
I need. Give me. I'll
take a baby step.
I'll call you in 2 hours.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio gods.
Hey, buddy.
Nothing says it better. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What do you plan on doing with your toilet after this event? Are you going to incinerate it, sanitize it?
Well, I think, the cleaning products that we have now can be sanitized very, very effectively. But
you could tell him not to sit.
But
you could tell him just to squat and not actually put his butt on your toilet seat.
Get one of those plastic rings that you see in all those, fast food restaurant toilet.
Dennis.
Everybody's helping.
Maybe he's getting angry listening to this.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
He's going to do something.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, do you think maybe when Dennis comes over, you guys might have a menage a trois?
Oh, the horror.
I don't think so.
A little wine, some sex movies.
Oh, yeah, 100% chance that'll be happening.
Right.
Absolutely.
You and your wife and Dennis end up in bed together.
I do feel bad. You know, my wife, I don't believe, has ever met Dennis Murphy.
Oh, really?
I don't think she's ever met him. Yeah.
She's in for a treat.
She's in for a treat.
Have you braced her for?
Oh, she knows
for the reality.
She knows. I mean, believe me, I've been emotionally preparing myself, and she's gotten some of that.
Oh, good. Hello, Don and my show, Margo.
Yes.
Margo, buddy.
How are you?
Hey, we're great. Thank you.
I want to tell you guys I love you.
Love you more.
And I think that you should find out a dinner that makes people sleepy.
Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife cooks a mean turkey. Maybe we'll give that. And turkey's a funny food.
You know what you could do? You like spike his food with get a couple of Tylenol PMs and ground him up into his iced tea.
I think if I give him wine and turkey, that's exactly what we'll have. I'll ask him if he doesn't mind this way. Well, he said he didn't eat anything like peanut butter and jelly, so I think we'll make him a nice turkey dinner.
But then you run the risk that he maybe falls asleep in front of the TV, and then you actually have to pick him up and carry him to his
room.
That
is so true. That is a horrible. I don't want to have to even. I really don't want to have any physical contact with him.
Hello.
Outside of shaking his stump when he comes in, which I always do. You do too.
We always
shake Dennis's stump just to say, you know, it's okay that you don't have a hand. You shake his stump.
There's no problem with that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you shake his stump and then, but I don't want to. Yeah, see, with Dennis, I don't want to have to carry him up to bed.
Hello.
I don't want to carry him up to bed.
Hello, start of my show.
You're right about that.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The first sign of sleepiness, he will be
bedtime.
To bed. What a day.
Hello, Pat.
Yes, how you doing?
We're great, thank you.
Mike, question for you.
Sir.
Your timing is perfect. You and Dennis will be able to spend quality time bonding watching the Red Sox in the playoffs.
You know, there probably is going to be a Saturday night game.
Oh my God.
Well, then right next to you.
We will not be watching a movie. We will be watching the Red Sox.
Imagine that. You'll be able to share the joy of the Red Sox being in the playoffs with
your best buddy,
Dennis Murphy.
The nice thing about that, though, I will be completely removed from the situation. I will not be focused on Dennis. Did I mention also my niece is flying into town for a visit this weekend?
Your sister's daughter?
Yeah, and thank God she made arrangements to visit a friend at the University of Maryland and then come out to our house on Sunday night. This is before any of this. There was a chance that, it's like, hi, welcome to my, you know, she's never been in my house before. You know, I said, welcome to my house. Here's my best friend.
Hello, here's Dave in Vermont.
Hey, radio gods. You know, Mike, you do have the distinct danger of Dennis coming over and impressing you so much that you guys will become the best of friends.
Well, I'm not going to close the door on that eventuality. I'm simply saying now that's certainly more possible than the menage a trois.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Here's Tim and Bmore. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I got a suggestion. I don't know if y'all ever watched Seinfeld, but if you ever saw the episode with the bubble boy.
Boy in the bubble.
Yeah, maybe you could get one of those bubbles at your house, put him in there.
Yeah, Mike, just call the bubble man. Bubble man.
Bubble man. Can you set it up in the guest room? Bubble man.
Bubble man. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I'd like to ask Mike if he would let Dennis shower in the morning. Possibly.
Yes, Dennis will be allowed to shower. Don, I believe you would address that subject.
Yes, I would let him shower also.
He is allowed to shower.
Although, if he chooses. Didn't we agree, though, at one point that if the weather was okay, that both you and I would be able to keep the option open.
Right.
Of putting him in a bathing suit and going outside just hosing him off.
Hosing him off. But, you know, to be honest with you, after the evening meal, I don't see necessarily, you know, on certain Saturday mornings, I've been known to throw the baseball cap on and go out to the grocery store, you know. So if Dennis wants to go, you know what, I might buy him a real nice cap. And, you know, as a gift. It's like a house guest gift, and that might encourage. That's exactly. Yeah.
You know, you could just write
that
in the rules.
This stuff down.
You could write it in the rules that he can't shower. Of course, then, you know, you got to live with him on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You got to live with the smell of the unwashed Murph.
But I would assume Dennis is going to sleep right up until, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am hoping that I have to wake him up.
I disagree. I think it's going to be like a kid on Christmas morning. I imagine that Dennis will be sitting in his room. He'll wake up at about 4 a.m. knowing that his time with you is limited.
Booze.
Just waiting for you.
Booze.
Okay.
I'm just going to load them up. I'm going to load them up.
You know how kids are on Christmas Eve, though.
I understand, but I'm just going to make sure that it doesn't matter.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, my brothers.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, Mike, what you got to do after breakfast in the morning, you got to take him to the club for a round of golf.
That is real funny. You're a very funny man, sir. Remember that menage a trois that I said there was no chance? There's less of a chance that he's going to do that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
You take him to your fancy country club. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Who's your friend?
God. So glad this bit wasn't embellished at all. You know what I mean?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Austin. This is a very good friend of Dennis Murphy.
Oh, you're a friend of Dennis's?
Yes.
So are we.
I bought his soiled underpants.
Oh, you what?
Are you the guy who bought his underpants?
Exactly.
You're the guy that bought his brown stained underpants when they were hanging?
First one, yes, sir.
When they were hanging from his radio antenna up at McDonald's?
Yep, that's me.
How much did you pay for those underpants?
$40.
Why would you possibly, on God's green earth, pay $40 for a pair of stained Dennis Murphy underpants?
Well, Dennis Murphy is my friend, and I've been, you know, following him, you know, wherever you have your Las Vegas show, I meet with him, and I like him, and, you know, so it's just, you know, I don't know, I just love him.
You know, you could probably sell the sheets, Mike. You could probably go on eBay.
So you could probably
sell the Dennis Murphy sheets, sheets. I'm sure someone would buy them.
I think I'll do that. I think I'll bring him in Monday. I'll bring him in to show you.
And we go online on eBay and get you a bid going on eBay.
All right. Or I might just, why don't we just give them away on Monday? I'll bring the sheets in and we can give them away to the 100th caller.
Okay. Okay.
Instead of having to get on eBay.
You got it.
Okay, that's a good
idea. So what I want to do, what you want to do is, I want to wear the Dennis Murphy's underpants in my head, and we are going to visit Uncle Mike's house.
You want to wear the underpants on your head when? What, sir? What's the last part of that?
We are going to, me and Dennis Murphy are going to visit Uncle Mike's house together.
What do you mean?
Who's going to visit Uncle Mike's house?
Dennis Murphy and me.
No, that's not happening.
No visitors allowed, sir.
No, we are coming.
You know, as scared as I am of having Dennis in my house, having somebody that paid $40 for his soiled painting underpants scares me even more.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis is going to be having steak, right?
No, we switched to turkey because it'll make him sleep better. Quicker.
Well, even with turkey, I think you might want to think about it, think it through a little bit more. Who's going to be cutting his food?
Well, he cuts his food.
He does with just a stump?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he does. He's very skillful with that stump.
Well, I'm sure, you know.
I find myself wanting, you know what? Maybe it's because I've lost his bet, but I'm going to start to defend our friend Dennis Murphy. Well, he is a very functional citizen.
And I know that your wife, like most of them, has a mothering instinct. And I would bet that if Dennis had a problem, your wife wouldn't mind cutting his food for him.
No, she would.
Here now is Dennis P. Murphy, major effing star.
All right, Dennis, I have a question.
Come on, Mike.
All right, what is this plague comment? What are you talking about?
It's like you want me in and out.
That's the bet. That's the bet.
Dennis, Dennis, listen to me for a minute. If I had lost the bet, I would also want you in and out of my house. But
same here. In and out. In at 8, out at 8. Thank you. Thank you, boys. Thank you. Do you understand that, Dennis?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
It's an honor coming to your house, Mike.
Dennis, you're already in that mode, and I'm serious here. You're already in that effing me mode, and I want you to get out of that mode because that's not the way we're going to play this. Do you understand me? I want to make that very, very clear.
Listen,
we're going to have a very, hold on. This is important for me to tell Dennis.
Boys, we have a whole week to go till
Dennis,
this happens.
Let me tell you right now. I want you to have a pleasant evening. But I just don't want it to be this way. Do you understand me?
Okay.
Okay, good.
I will be a Mr. Cartoon. I will be happy cartoon.
We're going to have a good time. I'm going to make you a nice turkey dinner.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And it'll be pleasant. But you can understand that, the rules that we set with the bet are 8 o'clock pickup, at a predetermined location.
At 8 o'clock, bye-bye. Okay.
Yeah, and the 8 o'clock bye-bye is very, very sharp.
And Dennis, listen, don't be offended because of the same rules that I would use if I lost and
That's
the same
right.
rules that Buzz would use if Buzz lost.
That's right.
Okay. But are you going to give me a bubble bath in the morning?
No, Dennis, you will not get a bubble bath. I don't think you'll have time. Because I think we're going to have a lot of evening on Saturday night, Dennis. We're going to have a lot of fun. Probably watching the baseball game together.
Watching the Red Sox lose for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, well, I hope they don't, but, who knows? Hey, no, I was just about to say something. No. Man, I got to stop myself. Red Sox win, I was going to say, hey, Dennis, you're good luck. No.
Might have to bite you back.
That's right. No, we won't be doing that. No, I don't think so. I think we'll have a nice time, Dennis.
Yeah, I can have a great time, Mike.
That's
don't
right.
worry. Oh, I did meet Nora before, and she's a very nice lady.
Oh, good. Okay, so you have met my wife before.
Yeah, she called me in dreadlocks, but she met me.
She saw you in dreadlocks?
Yeah.
Why were you wearing dreadlocks, Dennis?
I don't know. Secret one kind of Ocean City.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
Very, very good. Well, it's going to be just... I've described it to all of my friends here as a little slice of heaven.
It will be a great slice of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. And I hope you like turkey.
Oh, well, I prefer steak, but if you want to cook turkey, that's fine.
Absolutely, Dennis. And for you, only the finest. And what? Are you a white or a red drinker?
Red wine.
Red wine?
Red wine.
I've got lots of red wine. Shocker, in my house, yes.
And Dennis, what is your normal bedtime on a normal school day? What's your bedtime?
Probably 12:30.
Okay, it's going to be just a little earlier on Saturday night.
How early?
No, it depends, Dennis. Really, we'll watch the game. We're going to watch the game.
Okay.
If there's a playoff game, we'll watch the game. If it goes extra innings, it could be 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Play by ear. That's what you said.
But, and will you do me the favor, the courtesy of rooting for the Red Sox?
For you, Mike, I will, but Mike, don't get your hopes up.
I won't, but I'd like to hear your, like, high-pitched squeal if the Red Sox do something well.
And I would love to be in the room. Well, I'll be able to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. When the Red Sox lose,
right.
When you face that reality, and then you look to your left, and you notice you just shared that low moment with Dennis P. Murphy.
That'd be a great tape. That'll be like, go to bed, Dennis.
I'm looking like a rock again.
And Dennis, for breakfast, and so the menu really is up to you. I think turkey, that sounds good to you. You know, I'll give you the choice, turkey or some nice steaks.
I'm going to have steak, please.
All right, then I'll get you steak, and then in the morning, would you like eggs or pancakes?
French toast.
French toast is easy. In fact, French toast is my first choice.
Yeah, I don't want to jump in here, but why don't you make them your hats and tails?
Eggs and hats and coats?
Yeah.
Well, Dennis, do you like eggs?
Oh, yeah, I like eggs, but French toast is my preference. You want to cook the eggs over easy, that's fine.
Okay, I'll make you eggs and hats and coats.
Oh, no problem.
And maybe you know what? I'll make you an egg, a hat, and a coat, and some French toast.
Wow.
Oh, you don't have to go all out for
Dennis, for you, because I'm going to want you to have a nice, wonderful breakfast, because then I'm going to want you to leave no later than 8 a.m.
Well, that's going to be up to you, because you're going to have to drive Dennis back.
Right.
Back
to the location.
It's a good idea. If I could drive there, then you're going to have to drive me back to my car.
Okay, we'll talk about
well,
that.
Well, now, are you going to make Dennis wear a blindfold, or are you going to go with the bag over his head?
Driving.
Do you know, under the guise that Dennis does everything we tell him to do, I think if Dennis understands the rules, Dennis can come to my house.
Let him know where you live?
Yeah, Dennis can drive to my house, absolutely.
Wow, you're a bigger man than me, Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
Mike, you live in way down.
Dennis?
You live way
Dennis?
Down there.
Dennis?
What?
You see, this is part of the stuff we're going to have a nice chat about.
What?
See, we're not going to talk about that, are we?
That you live in...
You're just going to say I live in a nice house.
I know you live in a nice house. I know that.
No, a house in Hooterville.
Okay, in Hooterville.
Okay.
Junction.
That's right. So that's really one of the only rules for you, Dennis. But I'll tell you, actually, now that I thought that because of just what he just did, I've changed my mind. And I have that prerogative of changing my mind.
Of course you do.
Dennis, I will meet you at a predetermined location.
Mike,
that is what I would do.
Yeah.
I swear to God,
that's exactly what I would do.
You can come call it. Oh, okay, whatever you want, Mike.
I'm doing that, Dennis, because I just think that's the right thing to do.
And then that gets me back.
Whatever you can expect.
That gets me back to my original question. Will you blindfold him or put a bag over his head as you drive up to your house?
I'm willing to take suggestions. I think the blindfold is
more humane.
Yeah. I think, you know what?
I think the bag would be funny, though.
Well, let's make a compromise. A blindfold and a bag. Huh? Good idea.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I like you, Mary. I like you a lot. I want to ask you a question straight out, flat out. I want you to give me an honest answer. What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it! Just give it to me straight! I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just... least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah! I read you.
1, 2. 1, 2, 3.
Hold it.
Tomorrow, Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Hey, Leah?
Hello?
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 Hey, Leah?
Yeah?
Okay, here she is now.
Wait, before you start...
And we're not even upset that you're calling 15 minutes late.
Well, first of all, that's crap.
Oh, my God. My. Why is that crap?
Oh, because I've been talking to your producer for 4 minutes.
Okay, right, that just... Okay, then that makes you 11 minutes late.
That's okay.
Can I tell you that I have to... You don't even know my drive coming home.
Really?
Going to work.
All right.
But let me just start off by saying, you do realize that I requested to be on your show.
You did? Really?
Yeah.
With who? With your new publicist?
Right.
Oh. Oh, well, thank you. Leah Remedy.
Let's give her a big round of applause from King of Queens, Leah Remedy. Okay. We usually get into our fighting part of this interview halfway through. We shouldn't do that right at the beginning.
No.
How are you?
I wanted to say it because one of you guys, I forgot who said it, said, oh, watch next season when they get picked up. We won't hear from you.
Yeah, I said that. As a matter of fact, we were already thinking that 15 minutes ago when you hadn't called.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Okay, first...
The ugliness that you're
saying. The ugliness.
Okay. Pretty.
Congratulations on being picked up.
Isn't that cool?
That's great.
Yes, congratulations.
Way to go.
Thank you, guys.
And that would be a full season you've been picked up for, right?
No, yeah.
Yeah, good. So you finish
for next season.
Finish up this year and you get a whole year next year.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And you guys said it would happen.
Yep. Yes. Yay. Yes. Yes, we did. Thank you for that affirmation.
There you go. Never forget that.
No, you guys said that. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And you guys were like, oh, yeah, let's see. Next year you'll be like, yeah, we knew it was going to get picked up.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had Kevin on a couple of weeks ago. We were telling him, this is no bull ass. Every single week, your guy's show is getting funnier and funnier.
Oh, thank you.
Every week. And every week you are wearing sexier and sexier outfits on that show.
And we are.
But can I tell you why? Because this is what I get in the supermarket or whatever. I'm just walking down the street getting coffee, whatever. This is what I get. You look so much finer on television.
Oh, please.
Oh, man.
Oh, please. We love it. More cleavage.
I can't.
And I'm getting, what, do they pad you? I mean, what woman says, you know, could you give me a little extra padding in my ass?
Oh, listen, the women, and it's not men saying this to you, I'm guessing they're women, those bitches, they're all jealous of you.
Meow, meow, catty, catty.
But could you believe that?
No, and furthermore, I can't believe, well, of course, we hadn't seen you on that show when we said that Raymond's wife was the hottest woman on television.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely the hottest woman on primetime.
Yeah. Thank
definitely.
Thank
however,
what?
However, I've got to say this. I was totally floored to see your list on a name of Scientologists. You belong to that goofy church? are you a Scientologist, Leah?
Where did you see the list?
I got a list that has all these celebrities that are Scientologists and all the regular ones that I knew I was going to see. Kirstie Alley, right. John Travolta. But then all the way down at the little bottom, it says, and star of King of Queens, Leah Remedy.
Now that's the church where you draw like a pentagram and you light candles, right? And you sit around in a circle and you pray for Satan to show up.
So you've been there.
Are you really in the Church of Scientology?
Yeah.
How can you be so loose in everything and be in that church? I thought you had to be very uptight and have like.
Have you met freaky people?
No. I'm basing it. I'll tell you where I'm basing it. Strictly on John Travolta.
Why is that freaky?
Well. He's very weird.
He's weird when he gets on that subject. It's kind of
like. You know why I think he's weird? Because he's nice.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy.
Isn't this the L. Ron Hubbard religion?
Yeah.
And now there's been a bit of a stigma around it. And how long have you been involved in this kooky, crazy thing?
since I was a little girl. I mean, I've been around it. I've known about it, you know. But it's really not as kooky as you think. I mean, I wouldn't. If I was, like, not involved in it or, you know, just kind of being introduced to it, I'd probably think it was freaky, too.
What religion were you originally before you...
Well, I am Catholic.
A good Catholic girl, and now you're doing this this mumbo-jumbo?
No, here's the thing. It's a religious philosophy. It's not like we chant and pray, you know. I mean, you could be anything and do Scientology. You could be Catholic. You could be Catholic. You could be Jewish. You know, it's things that have to do with... You know what?
What?
What's going to happen?
What?
That I'm going to kick your asses.
Oh, no. Now, that's not very Scientology-like, is it?
We're just having fun,
no,
you know that.
They're
going
to kick me out now.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Now, what about...
No, I'm kidding.
What about Cruise Buddy? Have you ever seen him at the revival meetings?
It's in a big tent, isn't it?
What?
Don't you do a tent revival?
Yeah.
Isn't that where it happens?
So you big.
All right. I'll tell you why I was disenfranchised with the Catholic religion. Of course, I haven't gone to the kooky, crazy religion.
Right.
But what happened is, first off, I was raised Catholic. I had to go to Catholic school when I was a kid. And first off, I was flipped out when I was a kid when nuns said stuff to me. Seriously, in Catholic school, like... People who aren't Catholics, they're all going to go to hell.
Right.
Nuns would seriously say that, which made me question.
Right.
Then I got divorced.
Right.
And when I got divorced...
They kick you out anyway. That's what happened to me.
Basically, the church says, screw you, you got divorced, you're not welcome here.
Right.
That's why I left the Catholic church, but I became an Episcopalian.
Well, she just said that you can be a Catholic and be a Scientologist at the same time. Is that true?
Yeah.
You can be any you can be a practicing member of a religion and also be a Scientologist.
Exactly.
Okay, it's just kind of... Is it more of a philosophy of life?
Exactly.
Okay.
And not to mention, the Catholic Church has bass-ackwards thoughts like about rubbers and stuff like that.
But here's the thing.
I mean, really?
If you go in for, you know, like marriage counseling or whatever, right? and you want to make your marriage better. The difference between like Scientology and just a a normal, quote unquote, normal religion,
yeah,
is that you could go into a priest and go, listen, I just my secretary, I'm feeling kind of bad about that, and they go, dude, 10 Hail Mary, see you later.
Yeah.
Whereas in Scientology, they're like, great, okay, so you did that. Now you have to tell your wife. You have to take responsibility for your actions.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, my God, that's scary.
I'd much rather say the prayer.
It kind of sucks for people with a very low responsibility level,
Oh, so it's taking responsibility for your actions.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I couldn't get into that.
Yeah, so, you guys probably wouldn't dig it.
No,
Be very, very... Has anybody tried to get Kelsey Grammer involved in the Church of Scientology?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
So do you have to tell your boyfriend everything, then?
Yeah, I got to tell him everything.
And is he also a Scientologist?
No, my boyfriend's done a couple of things, like about, just life, stuff, learning, about...
Mm-hmm.
What gets you down in life, and if you're going up and down, you're happy, you're sad, there's a little course you can do, and you could find out what kind of people you're connected to that are holding you down in life, It's just stuff like that. It's tangible stuff that you can use. It's not like,
It's the same reason I joined the Quaker religion. Well, no, I'll tell the truth. I just like the word of the outfits.
My wife went to a Quaker church a couple of weeks ago.
There you go.
And all you do is sit in silence. And whenever somebody has something to say, they stand up and they have a revelation.
Really?
Right. God is a great man. Then everybody goes, hey, amen, brother. And then you sit down in silence again.
Are there benches like up against the wall and stuff like that?
I don't know.
Could you just get up and go, hi, my ass hurts?
I guess you could. Now, listen,
be wrong? Or they would all go, hey, brother.
These Scientologists, how much of your salary do you kick their way?
Do you think that I would give my money away?
Well, we've heard.
What's wrong with you two?
It's just, when you hear and you read and you hear misconceptions and the whole thing, and we're wondering whether, you're finally hitting it big on this TV show, and, if they're going to just take all your money away, we'd feel awful.
No.
No.
I don't give my money away. I mean, I have my mother that I give my money away to, and that's enough.
Okay.
She wants this, she wants that. So it's like I already have to give to her, the lawyer, the this, the that,
Are you adjusted with the fact that now you are a primetime queen?
No, not yet.
You must be cool. You did mention before that, people are saying things to you, although not what you want to hear, at the grocery store.
Right.
Are you in that period of time now that you've been on for so long and the show has been picked up? Are you getting more of that kind of attention?
You know what I notice the most? And this kind of sucks, too.
What?
Like, you go to a doctor's office, right? And you know how you walk in and you're like, everybody's listening to what you're saying?
Would I love to be your doctor?
Oh, God.
This was not for a pap smear. I went in for a sinus thing, but imagine I was there for something else.
Okay.
Like, imagine I was there going, I have a wart, So.
Oh. I can't imagine you having a wart there.
You never know, right? But I was there for a sinus thing, right? But I go in there, and it's all quiet. There's like 20 people in there, and I'm like, hi, I'm here for blah, blah, blah. I have my glasses on and stuff. And the girl was so nasty, can I tell you? So nasty, because I didn't have my card with me.
Oh, yeah.
My health coverage thing,
Yes,
but
yes.
I was like, don't you have people? You have computers now. You just put the Social Security in, And she was so nasty to me until I took my glasses off.
And then she recognized it's the great Leah Remedy from King of Queens.
All right, let's not go off the show.
No, but hold on. No, that's what you took your glasses off. She recognized.
And
right?
We weren't saying that you think you're great. We were saying that we think you're great. So we were using great. We weren't.
That's what I would say.
Don't be sensitive. We're not giving you a hard time.
Okay. That's
we're your biggest fans.
You see, I'm acting freaky because I'm Scientologist. Okay. But she just totally changed. She was like, oh, my God, you're Leah Remini. Now, what bothered me about it was like, what if I wasn't? You know what I mean? Like, that bothered me. That's like, I don't know if people are being...
But Leah,
I'm just me.
But you are, so don't worry about it.
And now it's time to use it and use it for all it's worth.
No, but I feel bad for other people.
Screw other people.
That's right. You'll never wait for a table again. You'll get great deals on merchandise. Life is good. The world will be your oyster now. You're a successful TV star.
Okay.
Listen, you want something to worry about? Here's what you can worry about.
What?
You can worry about that on your refrigerator there, that you got a magnet over me and Mike's heads.
Right.
And on the rare occasions that our picture gets on screen, all you see is our hideous bodies and our faces, our beautiful faces, are covered up by a magnet.
Okay, first of all, that wasn't our fault. Do you know, first of all, we tell them, please, because we have a picture of Les up there with the CBS symbol.
Les Moonves.
And we tell our guy, Les Moonves, the president. Okay, we say, please don't let the CBS symbol show, right? to put the magnet over it. So what do? They put the magnet over your head.
Right.
And then nothing over the CBS symbol.
Right. Oh, it's an injustice. Sure.
And I'll tell you something. We're all very excited around here now that Kevin James has invited us to be extras on your show.
Did you know that?
No. When?
When we had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Kevin's your favorite. Let me tell
you. No, he's not.
No,
he's not.
Let me tell you something.
No. What?
It was me who got the picture on the
screen. I know it, but listen, we asked, you know, you don't call all the time. He calls all the time.
Oh, I don't call all the time?
No.
First of all, I'm the one who told him to call you guys.
Okay, but he calls. He calls more than you do.
I'm not even getting any kind of recognition.
Oh, you're getting total recognition.
You know,
I'm the one who put the picture up.
Okay.
I said, can I put this picture up on Donna Mike? Who's Donna Mike? I said, who's Donna Mike? He goes, oh, the guys from the radio. Yeah, can I put up in the fridge? Why? Because I told him I would. They're good guys.
Well, thank you. We thank you for that.
He said, okay.
We thank you for that.
That's one of the greatest moments in our careers. I will tell you that honestly.
And that is pathetic.
You should have sent a bigger picture.
Now, frankly,
a bigger one.
You know, and I don't, no disrespect, he does call more often than you do.
Because I don't want to bother you guys.
It's not a, don't you know we enjoy suckling on the of comedy stars?
So then why don't you take our phone number down and call us whenever you want?
Oh, please, like you're going to give us your phone number. I'm not going to call it up. It's in a phone sex line or it's a phone booth somewhere.
No, did I say it was going to be my home number? All right, let's listen, okay?
Yes, we're listening.
I'll give you the phone number to the stage,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And anytime you guys want to call.
Oh.
We'll tell the guy who answers the phone, Mike, who answers the phone.
Okay.
Whenever these guys call, give us the phone.
And you know what you really say to them? Whenever these guys call, you make sure you tell them that we're on the stage now. Whenever these guys call, you say we just went out to lunch.
Okay. Like I said, I'll give you the phone number. And whenever you guys want to call, you call Mike.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't.
Give us the phone.
You know, you don't have to do that since we're already going to be extras. You don't have to do this. What would be real nice is to give us speaking parts.
Are you going
to
really do that?
Yes. When Kevin called, one of the times that he called. And you didn't call.
When Kevin called, he said, hey, yeah, you guys would be great if you were extras. And then we got off the phone, and I think I said something to Don, like, well, when Leah calls us, she'll probably, you know, give us a line or two.
Oh, this is the master manipulation.
Yes, that's right.
Listen,
I'll be there.
Pretty early in the morning.
All right, I'll be very honest with you. Kevin didn't offer us dick. We kind of begged him.
Yes, we begged him.
At first, we begged him just to work our picture into the show, hold the picture up to the camera and say, these are two guys I went to school with or something. Mm-hmm. He said, no, that's a stupid idea. And then we just said, well, how about, like, when you guys, you know when you did the show, like, Thanksgiving when you were in the supermarket?
Yeah, he told me last week that he's going to walk by the fridge and go, hey, who are these guys? And I'm going to go, your cousins.
See, now that's nice.
Now that's huge.
That's a fabulous start.
That's huge. That's tears. We start crying when you do that.
I even took it a step further. I said, should I say your cousins, Don and Mike?
Oh,
my God.
I would have a heart attack.
That would be the greatest thing in the world.
I'd have a heart attack.
That would be the greatest thing. You're not manipulating us now, are you?
Yeah, not much, puppeteer. Not much.
Insane.
No, okay.
Listen, have I been honest with you?
Yes, you have.
And Leah, we are here to be manipulated.
And you know something? The very fact that you have called us and the show has been picked up again, you've been picked up for another season, we are very excited about
that. You know what? You guys get a lot of letters. Like, I have this free email thing that I do, like, for my fans and stuff.
For your fans?
For my fans.
Yes.
They write in, and I, like, you know, send them a picture, or I write back, you know, on the email.
Yeah.
And do you know how many questions I get about you guys?
Hey, where is, what is your email address? Maybe I'd like to write you a letter.
Well, it's one of those free things. Like, you go into Yahoo, and you type in Leah Remini, and it'll connect to my website.
Cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You must be
I'm going to do that tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to write you a letter tonight.
Sick. I have somebody who reads them first, because if I get any sick letters, or I don't.
You don't like to see
them. Send them over to me?
Right, that's good.
Yeah. See, it has to be normal.
That's
so
smart.
Normal.
All right, I'll send you a normal one.
All right.
Well, you know what then?
Totally. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. I'm going to say, Kev, let's do the Don and Mike line.
Beautiful.
Oh, God bless you.
Well, listen now. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And you really give that number to Charlie because, you know, we wouldn't be beyond calling you every single week. Just to say hello to you.
Because we love you.
Okay, we adore you guys. You've been so good to us.
Your show is a true hit. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you,
it's
sweetheart.
A true hit.
And you're the greatest. And you know something?
What?
We joke around. We truly appreciate you taking the time to call us. We really do.
Yeah,
it's
no
great.
Kidding.
It's great to hear from you. And we're so happy for your success.
look, I have Cole
and
Waiter.
See, you're a big star. That's probably an agent, somebody representing a major studio that's offering you a feature film contract.
Probably a fellow Scientologist. Wanted to know if you're going to come over and drink some animal blood tonight. Hey, it's John Travolta. I'm slaughtering a pig. Want to come on over?
No, actually, we hug the pigs. We don't slaughter.
They hug the pigs. There you go.
Hey, Leah?
Yeah.
Oh, go see. You want to go see who that is?
No. They already hung up.
Oh, they did. Okay. Yeah. Listen, hold on. You're fantastic, and your show is on tonight.
Thank you, guys.
On the CBS. It's King of Queens.
Leah Remini from King of Queens.
She's marvelous. Hold on a second.
Okay, sweetie.
Hold on a second.
Bye, you guys.
They're true to their word, those people.
Jeez, do I love her.
Man, that's great. Yeah. And you know something? I'll tell you, if they do that, before, of course, that won't mean we're going to give up on the extra thing.
Oh, no.
But that'll be... Geesh.
That's your cousins, Don and mine. She's a Scientologist, huh?
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, she's pretty upfront about it.
She's unflappable.
That show is on 8:30 on your local CBS stations and 7:30 in some time zones.
Excellent.
King of Queens, we highly recommend it. We are on the refrigerator with a big magnet over our heads. And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Congratulations. By this time, you should have successfully gone through the first four dance steps in Let's Disco, and you're now ready to put them to music. Just to give you an idea of how this record is put together, we've set up the instructions in four sections. The walking steps and four-beat turn, the touch steps and the two-beat turn, the camel walk and camel walk kick, and finally, the triple or syncopated steps. We'll take each of these steps individually, talking you through them slowly at first, then to a normal four-beat count, and finally to the music. Be sure to keep the book handy in case you have problems. One additional word of advice. You have to listen closely, or you can easily get behind when listening to this record. If that happens, simply go back to the beginning of the cut and start over. With some patience and a little practice, we'll soon have you disco dancing with the best. So let's listen to the music, relax, and have fun. Good luck.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, listen, I want to tell you about the baseball, the basketball, the game that I was in this weekend.
You were in a benefit basketball game on Friday night.
I only wish that we had sent somebody out with a tape recorder like we did when you played in the hockey game.
Why didn't somebody do that? I'm sure CK was available to go out and do that.
Because nobody was on Friday night.
Okay.
To go with me. It was game for Operation Smile.
Yeah, that's where they do plastic surgery for facial deformities on kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and only about a million people told me that
right
on Friday night because I didn't know what the charity was exactly.
Hey, you know, the important thing is that you show up.
You were there.
But it was tough, man. I didn't arrive till halftime, which meant that I, fortunately, was not required to play in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But because I wasn't there for the first half, they put me right in the beginning of the third quarter, a 12-minute quarter, which ran about 20 minutes. And playing against guys that are real basketball players, lots of former NBA guys, by the time that my time on the court was over, when I came over to the bench, I was like this. You know what I mean?
Where hostage just, and please.
Just awful. You realize, oh, hold on a second. Hannah wants to tell us she's not a pig. But, Hannah?
Hello?
Hello, Hannah, you pig.
I am not a pig. I am absolutely not a pig.
I just
am 5'5", and I weigh like 102 pounds.
All right, Hannah.
Okay.
What?
You could be skinny and still be a pig, though.
Then what are the qualifications for being a pig?
A lot of that is personality motivated.
Oh. And what personality qualifications for
Hannah,
that
just kidding.
Hannah, don't you think, really, relatively speaking, that you've gotten a tremendous amount of airtime so far today?
Hannah, we're just kidding. Just having a little fun, you know.
I know you're having fun. But I will argue right back.
You'll argue what right back?
Anything.
Right, because you're a pig. Okay, I'll see you later, Hannah. Hannah.
Yes?
We're just kidding.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, pig. a joke.
I said it.
Okay. Go back to your pillows, Hannah. See, Aunt Hannah, you say, okay, goodbye, you pigs.
Goodbye.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Hannah.
Well, and a very good point made. You don't necessarily have to be a big fat woman to be a pig.
Right.
Thank you, Hannah.
You can be a skinny man
and still be a pig.
Right. Like Jeremy Coleman.
Sure.
He's a toothpick.
Well, he's a pig.
Pig.
Thank you, boys.
I think we've demonstrated also, especially these pigs, we love pigs on this show.
Listen to those pigs.
That's the same original pig sound these, effect. And those are not just the sound effects of pigs. These are real pigs. There's this cheesy amusement park out here in D.C.
Right.
Called Wild World.
Right. That's what it used to be called, right?
And they had, like, an animal petting zoo. And Mike and I went out one day to do our show out there.
Weren't they pot-bellied pigs that they brought up?
Sure were, and they were very proud when they announced that they had these two pigs that all the little kids are going to be able to walk up and touch. And one was named Don. And one was named Mike.
And we threw the microphones down in front of the pigs, and they just went nuts.
They were pig-rific.
Listen to that. You won't get a better pig sound effect than that.
That's not off some sound effects record.
No, we really got that on our own.
That's he's an angry pig.
Yeah, they didn't like us at all.
Real.
They were named after us, and they didn't care for us.
Our namesake.
They're probably really big pigs now.
I imagine they're probably bacon sandwiches now.
Yeah. Well, they're those pot-bellied pigs. They're kind of pigs for pets. But what's the life expectancy of a pig?
I like eating them.
Bacon!
Do you remember when they became so popular and my mother-in-law wanted one?
Wanted to get a pot-belly, a Chinese pot-belly pig.
Until we found out they cost it at the time, like $1,000 or something like that.
Very expensive. It's supposed to be more intelligent than dogs. Yeah, right.
That's what I hear.
Right.
Come on.
More intelligent than an animal that will eat its own poop?
No, I don't think so.
But let me just tell you about the game. So I arrived at the game, although I'm, you know, recovering from my knee surgery and all that stuff, and I've lost a bunch of weight, I realized playing this game, how really I'm in awful shape.
Well, it's a different, you run, but it's a different kind of running that they do.
Yeah, and because I was playing with guys that were really basketball players, it was a whole macho thing.
Right.
But you get out there and you don't want to stop running.
Sure.
For 1 second.
You want to just look, you know, potent out there.
As a matter of fact, there were two times that I fell down. One time I fell down when I was diving for a loose ball, so that was...
That's okay.
Like heroic.
Right.
But the other time was with 30 seconds left in the third quarter, and at this point, I'm just dragon ass, barely making it up and down the court. And I was by the sidelines, and I was looking up at the clock, and I realized I just tripped over my feet.
and fell down.
And
you just fell without anybody.
I just fell. There's 1,000 people in the gym watching me.
Oh, my God.
But that was embarrassing.
Did I get to get one of those mock rounds of applause?
No.
Too much action going on?
Yeah, nothing. Like, people were just ignoring the fact that I had fallen down. I did get huge boos from the crowd, though.
Now, were you looking up at the clock to check the score, or were you looking just to
check the time? See how much time was left in the quarter.
Before you died.
Right? So the game starts. Now, listen, I did okay. I had 5 rebounds.
That's good.
I had 3 assists.
How many points?
No.
No.
I did take 2 shots.
Right.
And horribly missed them both.
You told me you hit the rim, though. At least that's not a total air ball.
Yeah, but they were awful shots. I was way out. You know, I played this game like I played when I was in high school.
Okay.
Because I'm really no good at basketball. Mm-hmm. I figured out that you can play and make the team if you do all the stuff nobody else wants to do, like rebound the ball.
Okay.
And push guys away. Mm-hmm. Now, that means on offense, I don't even want to touch the ball.
So you just want to set picks and stuff like that.
So I was running down, and basically all these guys that were playing on the team with me, they're all good basketball players, right? And I would just kind of stand out of the way and stand over in the corner while they were, like, passing the ball around and stuff. Well, they realized that I'm just standing out there by myself. So one time, this guy, Michael Adams, who used to play with the Washington Bullets, hell of a basketball player, he was on my team. I was standing out there. He said, "Yo, Duke," because I had my Duke's shorts on, and he passed the ball to me, and I'm alone. He says, "Take the 3. So I went, "Hey," I take the 3. I put the shot up. It goes off the rim, and everybody goes, "Boo!" And the crowd goes,
"Ouch!"
And that's time down the court.
Did you look good taking the shot?
No, looked awful.
Okay.
Looked very awful. Mm-hmm. Just like shot like a girl. Then the next time down, same thing. Yeah, like that. Just kind of throw it like the Three Stooges. Like, yeah, don't hurt me.
Threw it.
Don't. I'm taking my shot now.
Next time down the court, same thing. Uh-huh. Except I'm so all alone, it's not even funny.
Right.
That I'm like, nobody's even covering me.
Could you have gone in for a layup or?
No, because I was so far away from the action.
So far away you wanted to go for it. The only reason they were three-pointers is because you were so far out.
Right, because my whole philosophy was,
yep.
I don't want to touch the ball when we get it down there.
And you want to be back on defense when the ball changes hands.
Right, because that's what I was good at, fighting for the ball and elbowing guys. All the stuff that really takes no athletic ability. That's where I was killer. And I had, like I say, 5 rebounds.
Tough on the boards, though.
Yeah, and I had 3 assists. That's where you get the ball.
Right.
And you give it to somebody else, and then they score.
They score, you get an assist.
You get an assist, right? Well, the second time, again, I'm all alone. It's like there are 9 guys off in the corner playing a game,
right,
and I'm just kind of standing out there.
And they see you with an open shot.
The guy sees me again. Michael Adams, Washington Bullets. Same guy.
Good.
Same thing.
That's the guy you want. You want to have the former player passing it to you.
I get him out there. He goes, Duke, take the 3. And he whips the ball. Now, when he passes the ball, it's not like a pass. It's like he whips it to me.
You go, ow!
Ow! It hurts to catch the ball.
Ow, my hands! Don't pass it so hard.
And this time, I had plenty of time to think about it, which is why it was embarrassing. Because, again, nobody's running towards me to cover me.
So was the game, moving at a certain pace, and then as soon as he passes it to you,
everybody stops.
It goes into a slow motion.
And then this time I think, okay, I'm going to do this right. Bend my knees. I'm going to get into it, right? Mm-hmm. So I take the ball, bend my knees, put it up. And I did that fag move where I kept my hand in the air after I shot it. Mm-hmm. And it just barely touched the front of the rim.
Oh, no.
And fell down. And once again I hear, So the next time coming down,
right?
Maybe it was 2 or 3 other times coming down. Nobody passed me the ball again, right?
But you're still doing your job and getting your rebound.
Oh, no. I didn't embarrass myself. I embarrassed my son. I did okay. And they didn't take me out of the game for a bunch of other guys, like Topper Shutt, that they were substituting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe 2 minutes left.
Did anybody mistakenly shoot Topper at the basket?
We're coming down court. And again, we're on offense.
Right.
I'm just kind of standing out on the wing.
Lagging back a little bit.
Yeah. Partly because I'm tired and partly because I don't want to touch the ball.
Right.
Again, this guy, Michael Adams, he goes, Duke, you hit it this time. And he passes the ball to me.
Wow.
Now, everybody in this whole gymnasium is looking at me, and I'll be goddamn if I'm going to shoot it again.
Right.
And if I am going to get the chorus of boos again. So now I'm just holding the ball. I'm just holding it, and nobody's even moving towards me. And everybody's yelling, shoot, shoot, take the three, shoot, shoot. So I stood there for a minute. Finally, a guy came towards me. And I went like I was going to shoot it, and then this was not planned. I didn't know what I was doing. I just spazzed out, and I went, and just kind of threw the ball to the side. Now, fortunately, there was a guy behind me.
Right.
He made the shot. He makes the 3-point shot.
So you get an assist.
Yeah, and it looks like I threw him a no-look pass. We're running backwards down the court, coming back on defense, and all these guys, all the brothers on my team,
mm-hmm.
come over and high-five me, going, nice pass! Nice pass! Way to go!
Did you have any idea the man was there?
I had no idea. God was with me.
Obviously, they were high-fiving you. It had to look good when you did it.
Oh, it looked good, but I had no freaking idea what I was doing.
Didn't you end up playing the team of girl champions that you were expecting to play?
Let me explain that.
Okay.
Yes, there was a team of girls.
Uh-huh.
Okay. However, none of the girls played.
Oh.
The team that we played against was made up of former NBA players, the New York City dunk champion.
New York City!
And women who played at the college level, like William and Mary,
right.
University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people on, as a matter of fact, with the exception of me and the weather guy,
mm-hmm.
everybody that played was an excellent basketball player.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So it was
a pretty fast-moving game.
Oh, like I say, when I went to the bench, my knees were shaking. I went to sit down, and I couldn't catch my breath, and I was doing that whole macho thing. Guys were coming over me and going, hey, good going. Hey, way to go. Nice going. And I couldn't say anything back to them. Sweat just pouring off me.
Hey, good exercise, though, right?
Oh, my God.
Sure.
So it was it was okay.
You know, I think if you put together my ability in hockey and your ability in basketball, you can put us together, and really, I think we really suck.
And then I made the one fatal mistake. So I played the whole third quarter, and like I say, didn't embarrass myself.
You didn't throw up. You didn't throw
up.
That's good.
I was feeling pretty good. By the time there was maybe 2 minutes left in the game, I got my win back, right? And now it's a tie game.
Your lungs burning at that point?
No, at this point I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay,
again,
very right? good.
Okay, I've wiped all the sweat off me. I've had some Gatorade. Mm-hmm. And I see that we've got the five best players out there playing against their five best players.
Right.
And because, you know, I'm just full of myself, I walk down the bench, and I go and I kneel by the starter's table, and I say to the coach, in front of everybody on the team, I go, hey, I'm ready to go in. You put me in. He looks at me and he goes, go sit down. just go sit down. Right? So then I got to walk all the way back down the bench.
Oh, no.
And go sit down again. Oh. Now the game goes to overtime.
Is that kind of how everybody was getting into the game? They kind of walk up to the coach and say, I'm ready if you need me.
Yeah. And as it turns out, the five guys that were the best were the guys that were playing at the end. So now it's time that goes to overtime, right?
Wow.
And these guys on my team, the dragon ass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the real basketball players, it's like nothing. They're going down, they're slam dunking, they're doing all the behind-the-back crap. So again, you know, they're having their huddle out there, the five guys that are playing, they're going to a three-minute overtime, and they're all putting their hands together and then going, team, 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 team. I go out there and I go, hey, I'm ready. I said to George Stark, who used to play for the Redskins, who was playing center, at that point I said, George, I'm ready. And he just looked at me and said, you're funny. I said, you're funny.
Oh, man.
I had to go just sit back down and be a good boy again.
They, you know, they should have put you in
time. I'm glad they didn't because we won the game.
You won? Well, that's good.
We ended up winning the game.
That's not bad.
And then Saturday morning, when I got up Saturday morning.
Uh-huh. Every muscle in your body.
Christ.
Every fiber. I take it you didn't stretch before you went up.
Oh, come on, please.
See, I did that, and I think it saved me. I think when you reach our advanced age, you have to stretch a little bit.
No, I didn't stretch at all.
That's why. A little sore in the morning?
Yeah, I got in the car, went to the game, then went home and got up on Saturday morning. Just felt like crap. You know, came downstairs, and I was barely able to walk and stuff.
Right.
And I made it over to the kitchen table, sat down. Freddie says, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with me? I played in a basketball game last night.
You get aware of the aging process.
Oh, Christ.
Like that.
Oh, but it was fun.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
Good for you, and your team won that, and you contributed rebounds and an assist.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. With my man, Michael Adams.
Former NBA great.
And then after the game, I went up to him. You know, we did that thing where he put his hand out in a fist. And we did that, like, where you knocked the
fist. Sure, right.
And I said to him, I said, you're not too effing money. And he looked at me and went, huh? And I said it again.
You'd use a little junkie speak on him?
No, I said, well, that's not only sports. Everybody does that now. A sports center, they say this guy's money.
Uh-huh.
They say the news. I said, you're not too effing money. And he goes, I'm not too what? And I said, you're not too effing money. And he said, okay. He totally didn't understand what I was saying to him. Wow. I thought I was speaking his language, the language of a ball player.
You walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Like more embarrassment than you needed.
Yeah, I said, okay, see you later, Michael.
I should have said, fine game, sir.
See you later, man. And everybody was very nice, with the exception of that guy, Darian Chapman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told you he's a little reptite.
From Channel 4, as a matter of fact.
My observation on the guy.
During the game, when I was at my low point, when I had missed one of those wide open threes, when I was running back down the court, and this guy was on my team, he screamed out, he's got the Duke shorts, but he ain't from Duke.
Oh, that's
because I had on, you know, Duke University shorts.
He's copping a toot.
Oh, yeah, I think
perhaps he's familiar with the broadcast, copping a little toot.
Right.
Both of us.
Well, anyway, it was a nice time, and I was mainly happy because when we were done, I went to Bart and I said, how'd I do? And he said, Dad, you didn't embarrass me.
There you go.
Victory. That was, you know, that's the goal.
That's what it's all about. You know, that really is when you're a little kid and you're watching your dad play. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line in anything. You just don't want, you don't want him to, you know, stand out in any way whatsoever, really. If he does something great, fine, but just don't embarrass him.
I said, what about when I fell down? He said, all right, that was a little embarrassing.
Just a little bit. Hey, you're out there. That's what counts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Money.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing today?
We are doing great, thank you.
Great. Hey, I'm from Bakersfield, California, and I saw you guys on wrestling yesterday.
What do you mean, some Yahoo with a sign?
Actually, two Yahoos. One held a sign, Don and Mike 316, and the other one held up a sign that said, Major Effing Star.
Hmm.
I thought it was great because I'm a Washington transplant and I didn't know you guys were even here in Bakersfield because there's no advertising or anything.
Shocker. We're on a station that never advertises us.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Well, it's always nice to get that exposure that's going to catapult our careers to the very pinnacle by wrestling TV.
We do get our names on the WWF an awful lot, though.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look at, you know, Jesse Ventura. He's governor now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It could happen.
Yeah, right, Buzz. Hello.
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 Hi, I just wanted to let you know, I think there's a follow-up on that Darian Chapman. I don't know him when I see him, but there was a gentleman, this sports guy, that said, you know, on Sports in a Minute yesterday, I said something I shouldn't have, and I normally try to maintain myself very professionally, he said, and this thing is pre-recorded, but somebody screwed up and put the wrong tape out.
That's not his fault.
That had to be even more embarrassing. The guy says the F word and it's taped.
He explained that, you know, that they did correct it. The problem was then the wrong tape went out in the air.
Oh, see, I know the thing you're talking about. Let's get the sports update. And
That's where the guy from the night before does a sports cast that they run on, like, Saturday mornings because they're too cheap to have a real sports guy in there.
Oh, beware. You're as good as your engineer.
Yeah, so it was obviously an outtake reel, right? Where he, like, maybe started and said, oh, F this. I ended up running the wrong thing.
They had the ability to control it from going online. It's just that
Yeah, and this woman's right, and that last guy that called made it sound like he did it live, and then they cut away from him. What you were dealing with was the wrong tape, because that, I know I watched that early morning sportscast, and that's exactly what they did.
That's almost funnier, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's almost funnier than a guy just screwing up and saying the F word.
O-F. Another sports rule.
And then he probably went, okay, hold on, time out. Let's take that again.
Oh, man.
And then they just played the wrong one.
Good morning.
We'll be right back. Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Where is Jeff Spicoli? I saw him earlier today near the first floor bathrooms. Is he still on campus? Anyone? Yes, Desmond?
I saw him by the food machines.
How long ago?
Right before class.
Okay. Bring him in. What is this fascination with truancy? What is it that gets inside your heads? There are some teachers in this school who look the other way at truants. It's a little game that you both play. They pretend they don't see you. You pretend you don't ditch. Now, who pays the price later? You.
Wait a minute. There's no birthday party for you here. Armstrong,
what's the reason for your truancy?
She couldn't make it on time.
You mean you couldn't or you wouldn't?
It was like a full crowd scene at the food lines.
Food will be eaten on your time. Why are you continuously late for this class, Mr. Spicoli? Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know.
The Don and Mike Show. Tomorrow, Don and Mike are back. Live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
I don't know who I like better, this guy or Raymond. Here's a guy that's Raymond's brother.
Hey, what's going on?
This is Brad Garrett right now, right here.
Yeah. Hey,
how you doing?
Buddy.
Thanks for coming on the show, Brad.
Hey, it's a pleasure. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? I'm wearing a little tube top.
Mm-hmm.
Shorty shorts.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And
you guys.
And nothing else. Brad, where are you? Are you in a car phone, sir?
No, I'm calling from the big house. I'm doing 2 to 3.
2 to 3. I'm sorry to hear that. It's nice to let you out.
I have a problem with some camouflage wardrobe. I can't get into it.
Listen, this guy is on the Raymond Show, and you know, for a long time we loved the Raymond Show because it was like TV's best kept secret.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
That it would be a show that we had like our own private little club for. We could watch it, and we didn't know anybody else that watched it.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Raymond, we talk about you, we talk about the wife, and then you guys, all of a sudden, you blow up, you're huge, you're gigantic. How has that changed your life, sir?
Well, it's pretty darn amazing. You know, just you know, this is my first sitcom that's gone past 4 episodes. So people are very happy about it. I'm happy about it. I mean, you know, it was really one of the rare times that someone in the network said, look, we're behind this, we're going to go with it. And they put us on Friday nights, and, you know, we were getting beaten up by, you know, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and, you know, That Better Not Be My Twin, and all these other shows. And Les Moonves said, we're going to hang in there, we're going to find a place for a show. He believed in it, and they moved us to Monday, and we went from, you know, number 82 to, like, number 9. And not overnight, it took a couple years, but it's evolved because the people are great, you know, and I know that sounds like everyone says, oh, we're a family, but it's not that way. We all work really hard, and everyone's just very down to earth. There's no weird stuff going on, it's really about the writing. You know, the writing is the key to the show.
It's got to be a lot of fun when you do find that writing. You do find people that gel together, and then you can just go in, and I would imagine it would be a... You know, even if you had one idiot in the group or one difficult person, it'd still be a pleasant experience. If the writing's good and you got chemistry on stage, it's got to be a very nice way to make a living, I would imagine.
It's a blessing. You know, if we could just get Ray out.
There you go.
Let me ask you, when Ray's wife on the show, you know, she was pregnant in real life.
Yeah, wasn't a baby?
Yeah, and you guys didn't write it into the show. How annoying was it when you would have to do a scene with her, when she would either have to be wearing that house coat or she would have to hold a pillow in front of her?
Well, the first time she was pregnant, they just kept having her stand behind me. That got a little weird. And we had a weird relationship for about a month.
Listen how much different...
She kept yelling, they're not seeing my head, have the Jews sit down. Then I got ugly. You know, she's Irish.
Hey, you're Jewish. I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have guessed that.
You will tonight when you see me swing dance. Unbelievable. You know, they put me in a zoot suit, you know, and it's great. My mother's sitting there going, I need another bourbon.
There's the voice. See, the voice that you're
I'm just going to say that the voice is different in real life.
I'm sure you get asked that a lot. Now, that is the Robert character. That's, I mean, obviously that's within you, but do you tweak up the low voice thing a little bit?
Well, what I do is I take about 9 Sudafed. And I make myself a little Mai Tai.
So like when you called him...
Right. Shave Peter Boyle's back and we call it a night.
So like when you call to order a pizza, although I'm sure you don't, I'm sure like one of your assistants does, but on the odd chance...
I don't even have an assistant, man. I don't... Hey, you know...
Come on.
Hey, I'm just happy to be on the bus.
You know, I was stupid enough to think that when you called, we'd be getting... That would be, you know, your full-time voice when it's obviously the voice you use for the character. So that means that you've got one of those enviable positions where you can go out, and if you really want to, you can turn that voice on. Do you ever do that, or do you just use your regular voice when you're out in public?
Only when I'm at the shrink. He has narrowed down to 3 personalities.
Well, listen, we've learned 2 great things about Brad today. First, we've learned he's Jewish, and now we've learned that he goes to a shrink.
That's terrific. See all the insight on the Don and Mike show.
Redundant. You have to if you're Jewish, aren't you?
Well, when you mentioned you swing dance tonight, will it be as good as... Do you remember the episode of Raymond where Robert was hanging out with all the brothers?
And he
started going to the brothers' clubs, and he started dancing like...
with my peeps?
With his peeps. That
I
was
it, man.
That was excellent. Will tonight's be as good as that one was?
That was my favorite show. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the honesty.
I'll be honest with you. I think that show was one of my better... You know, swing dancing, first of all, they put me in a zoot suit. Which, when you're a 7-foot Jew and you put on a zoot suit,
there it is again.
It's unbelievable. People keep dropping off shoes and going, just paint the bottom, I need them Wednesday.
That's the second time he's mentioned it. When you go to your shrink, are you comfortable with your Jewishness?
Well, let me tell you how long I've been going. The couch breaks up to a bed.
Oh,
wow. No, hide a bed. And I sit there and I say, it's really ugly. It wasn't a great childhood. I play pirate and the slave boy a lot. I take Deb dancing, Ray's wife, I take her dancing, and he gets jealous because, you know, who wouldn't be jealous of Robert? It was show 24, we were running out. Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's live in the past. I'll tell you, really, although the episode where you dance with the brothers was good, the best one with you ever was the one where... you were teaching the traffic school, and you had the ventriloquist dummy?
That's right, little Tommy Dummy.
Every once in a while, I watch one of those shows you guys do, and I think, you know what? It shows a goddamn classic.
Yes, it is.
That one,
I love you.
That one is an all-time keeper, the one with you with the ventriloquist dummy.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's a very talented group, and it's hard to get it's hard to get some meat on the show. Usually they have me walk in a room, they go, I found this in my yard.
Now, but you get... You get your shots, even if, you know, you get a lot of...
My shots.
Even if it's a glance. Even if you're just glancing at Raymond or glancing at your mother.
And I don't think they've mined enough comedy gold out of your feet. I believe that we can have another episode, perhaps an entire episode, devoted solely to your foot problem. And I really would like to see more of that. Because, I mean, though, you know, when you were coming back from, I guess it was the Hall of Fame, and you had your feet pressed up against the windshield of the car.
Yeah.
Not only would I like to see more episodes about your feet, I think we could see more of your feet on that show.
You got it.
All right.
I got a bunion I'd like to show you.
Is it pathetic, sir, that we know all of these episodes of your show? Will you hang up the phone now? And will you think I've just talked to the two biggest losers on the face of the earth.
It's an honor. You know, I've spent 20 years in this business. No one had any idea what I did. So, believe me, we're very, very proud of that. And I thank you for that because, you know, it's been a long road. We're happy because we really have fun with it. I mean, we really do.
Brad, we have someone on the phone who says she knows you.
Oh, boy.
Let me see. You know, we got a national show, and this is Dawn calling us from Southern California to say that you were in Texas. Were you in a guy named Tex? Tex, were you in his wedding?
Whose wedding?
A guy named Tex.
A guy named Tex?
Yeah, T-E-X.
Have you fathered any children in the state of Texas?
Probably not a Jew with the name of Tex.
I spent a lot of time in Texas.
All right, well, hold on. Let's see then. Dawn, do you really know Brad?
Well, his name is Dave, but the family calls him Tex. You were in Dave's wedding?
You were in
Dave's wedding.
Dave's wedding. Can you give us maybe a little more information?
A long time ago. Dave and Polly in Southern Redlands. Dave Critchlow?
Dave Critchlow.
Well, my question was if you've talked to Dave lately. I guess you haven't.
No, of course. No, I was drinking heavily then, but I remember that.
Okay.
This is Dave and Polly's wedding. Dave and I go way back to our waitering days.
I know. Well, he's still
I've never heard
waitering.
Tex. He's a Jew, honey. So that's one thing you got to understand. I've never... Urban Hebrew, we used to call him.
John, I must tell you something about the way that these Hollywood people are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that Brad is a big success on a huge show.
That's right.
All of those people that he knew in his other life, they're dead to him now.
Apparently. Well, Dave, he is still struggling. He's not big like Brad, so...
Well, that's... No, Dave...
He's unintended, huh?
He's a talented guy, though, and he really...
Yeah, we're real proud of him. He's doing a lot of theater.
He was directing or something like that. And you know, we've lost touch recently over the years. You know, he's very anti-Semitic. I don't mind telling
you. Five Jew references in one phone call.
Well, I apologize for that. Just wanted to say hi.
Well, that's very sweet. Were you in the wedding?
No, but I was there. And you were in the wedding. You were very tall.
Wedding, and they made me wait outside.
Yeah.
Well, see, now you know. He does know your friend.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Goodbye, Dawn.
Bye.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on.
We got about 10 more calls like that for you, Brad. Sorry about that, Brad.
No, not at all. It's nice, because I do hang with a lot of people I came up with. Dave, we the Tex. What do you mean they used to call him Tex? The guy's 4'11".
I don't know.
Then we reached the pedals. Tex.
That's what I said on screen. Do you get a lot of that from people that you used to know? Now, do you get, like, I mean, not only, of course, the obligatory calls about money and can you get me on the show?
Is it?
But you get that a lot?
It's amazing. But, you know, I have to tell you, the people I hang with to this day, I don't really hang with, you know, actor buddies, because I don't have friends like that. They're really people I know from the restaurant business, from the days when I was selling shoes and making a, you know, I have a small group of friends, and so I do run into a lot of people, and Dave and I really, really used to hang out a lot, and he moved to Redlands, he started doing theater out there, and we kind of lost touch, but we were good buddies, and I love that. I love that when people remember in those days, because a lot of them are very supportive, and they used to come and watch my ridiculous little act in the old days, and it's nice.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. It's a world of winners and losers, and you're one of the winners, and this guy Dave is one of the big losers.
Yeah, you know, and if you don't want to say you feel that way, we certainly can say it for you.
Final question. Brad, listen, let me ask you, do you know Kevin, of course you know Kevin James, right?
Sure.
Let me ask you, if you had, let's say, just a make-believe question.
Okay.
Let's say that either Kevin James or Leah Remini was lying to you about something.
Yeah.
Without knowing the situation, which one of those two people do you consider to be more trustworthy, Kevin James or Leah Remini?
Honestly?
Totally hypothetical, yes.
Yeah.
Kevin, you take it to the bank.
Oh. All right, thank you. That's very insightful.
That's
for us.
Wonderful insight.
I don't want to look like I'm going one way or another, but I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
She's a goddamn barracuda.
Hey, Brad, thank you for being on our show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for the support.
You're very welcome. Brad Garrett, right. You know, he's Raymond's brother. Everybody loves Raymond. You know.
Yeah.
Show's a huge freaking
hit. Can you give it to us just one time? Because, you know, you say it at the beginning of the show. Can we hear it just one time?
Everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Wait till I go through puberty.
Would you just say everybody loves Don and Mike?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Oh, beautiful. That's one for the archives. Thank you, Brad.
Be well, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we had to ask. You know, what the hell? I mean, you know, but that voice, man, that's the whole show right
now. Another friend made, I think.
I believe so. And a very good insight into Kevin James, I think. You heard Barracuda.
He's got something going on with being Jewish, though.
Oh, that's funny. That's what, six references?
A million times.
Six references during one interview.
All right, well, that is Brad Garrett. And like I say, if you're just hearing the show for the first time today, please, this is not what our show is normally like with people you heard of all the time.
I'm such an idiot, too. I expected, like, we pick up the phone and be like, hello, Donna Mike. This is the way I talk all the time.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
She's the girl on the flying trapeze. She's the sweetest thing that's ever flown in with the breeze. And if you see her, tell her that I'm in love with her. She's the girl on the flying trapeze. She's the sweetest thing that's ever flown in with the breeze. And if you see her, tell her that I'm in love with her. She's the girl on the flying trapeze. Hey! She's the girl on the flying trapeze. Whoa! When I close my eyes, I see her there, swinging through my dreams. And I want so bad to tell her, yeah, how I really feel. She's a girl on the flying trapeze.
The Don and Mike Show. Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
You get your new Babylon 5 check over the weekend?
I didn't check. I actually got the mail today. I didn't see it. So, I'm usually a few days behind because I live so far out.
Got it right here, Mike.
How much is our total going to be this time?
This is from Warner Brothers Television Productions.
I tell you, we're in the Hollywood loop, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. Ever since we did that fabulous appearance on Babylon 5, the checks keep coming in.
Incidentally, the show that put us in a very elite group in the Screen Actors Guild.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last check, I think, that I brought in to share, well, to brag,
yes,
with all of our listeners about.
Now, because, you know, you do a little TV. Once you're in TV, you're in the money. You're there.
I think the last check was for $9, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Have we gotten a raise?
Well, this one is for the run in Basic Cable.
Ah, Basic Cable.
See, when you got a TV show.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're a featured performer on a TV show, the residual checks just keep pouring in.
Yeah, this is serious money here. And all you have to do is do a little bit of TV, and you know, it just makes the radio thing pale by comparison.
The take home.
Uh-huh. Yes.
$1.32.
Congratulations. That's right. We're in the money.
Now, before taxes, that was $2.28.
Well, yeah, that's serious money. When you get on cable, it's effectively over.
They took out 64 cents for federal tax,
right?
14 cents for Social Security.
Well, nice to see 64 cents goes to the government
for
out of
your future.
That.
3 cents to medical tax, to Medicare, and 14 cents to California state tax.
Well, I think that we deserve that kind of money when you offer the kind of entertainment that we do.
That's right, everybody. Don Geronimo. Warner Brothers Television Productions, episode Babylon 5, Voice in the Wilderness, date episode filmed 2/23/94.
94.
And this check for $1.32.
Isn't that incredible?
5 years later, it's still rolling in.
Oh, it's just, because it's so hot. That show is just so darn hot. People want to see it again and again and again. Is there, are we bragging when we say it's their best episode ever?
Yes, absolutely, without doubt, which is why the checks keep pouring in.
Right.
I think in previous months, what have we done with these? I know I've ripped them up.
You burned the last one.
Have I burned them?
I think so.
Yeah. Have I burned them?
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with this? Are you going to eat this?
Well, except...
It's got a lot of that nasty ink.
It's got that bad ink on it.
Right, you don't want to get sick.
Maybe I will use it as toilet paper.
You're not going to bring it in to show us that
well,
you used it.
There would be no other way to verify.
I don't need to
we'll
see
take
that.
Your word
I guarantee that you
okay.
Guarantee there's nothing in there, Hank. I guarantee you do that.
Yeah. No. Well,
you want to burn it again?
Yeah. Why not, yeah, Robbie?
Lighter, Rob.
Robbie, a lighter, please. Just to kind of flaunt my nose at the Hollywood mainstream.
I also enjoy the smell when anything is burned in the studio. Because for whatever reason, the reason we all get sick in this building,
right?
Whatever, any smell or any odor will just immediately permeate the entire building.
There you go, everybody.
There's the match.
And?
Burning carbon.
Only a real successful television performer
would burn his checks.
Would burn his residual checks.
Of course.
That's how much it meant to me, Mike.
That's right. What means is the craft, Don. That's what means a lot to you, is the craft, the entertainment aspect.
Look at it go up. Look at it go up in flames. That's what I say to you, Hollywood.
You're so careful.
That's what you mean to me. Because I do TV for nothing.
That's right, because you care about people and you want to, and you know that people are dying to be entertained.
I mean that from my ticker.
I think that's very noble that you do that. That's what it means.
Look at it. Looks like the beginning of Bonanza. Remember on Bonanza when the paper would go up in flames?
Sure. The map of the Ponderosa.
Now the question is, how long will I be able to hold the last little bit of this check?
Oh, very good. You can actually move your finger.
Ow! 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 Okay. Ow.
Don't hurt me!
There's the answer. I love the smell of burning Hollywood money in the morning.
It's a different smell, isn't it?
Ah!
There it is.
That's rejuvenating.
That's the smell of Hollywood going up in smoke right here in the Don and Mike studio.
Ah, fantastic. F you, Hollywood.
Oh, I gotta give you a dollar.
Oh, dear.
Right. Lent not over yet.
There you go.
That's right.
There's a dollar.
Well, I thumb my nose at you, Hollywood.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the last thing I had to tell you about the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, I guess I won't. I was going to tell you about the cocktail party that we went to at our new neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm. You get in trouble if you do that.
Yeah, but I won't tell you about that. Mike already knows about that. I want everybody on my street to continue to like me.
That's true. You have to be very careful when it's in the neighborhood.
So I won't tell you about that. I'll just tell you one other thing that happened this weekend.
Yes.
My wife had given me a simple job to do, simple around-the-house job.
Mm-hmm.
She said that our sliding glass door in the basement was leaking. When it rained, water would get in.
That's tough. Might be a job for a professional.
She said, go to the hardware store, and she wrote it down for me, whatever kind of caulk I was supposed to ask for, some kind of see-through caulk or something.
Mm-hmm. Daddy's caulk.
And geesh.
Love caulk.
And she said it comes in a big toothpaste-like tube.
Sure it does.
Go to the hardware store. It wasn't rock-hard caulk. Robbie.
Rob.
Rock-hard caulk.
Hey, I'm looking for some rock-hard caulk.
Caulk Hudson.
Do I need a gun for this caulk?
Okay.
All right. Here's my caulk gun.
The problem is we went out. We went to the drugstore first to pick up some other stuff. And when we were in the drugstore, I lost a credit card. And that just means like your whole life is in an upheaval that immediately you're thinking, boy, we got to cancel the credit card. And all this
somebody's
crap.
Added like Neiman Marcus going, woohoo!
Well, not with my credit card, but but still.
Oh, woohoo, until they took it to the register.
Yeah, right. And then they would get that decline.
That would be it.
So that was kind of on my mind, and I was being yelled at already about that. With, how stupid are you? You lose a credit card, and send you in the store, and it's in your pocket, and you come out, you don't have it. It's, okay, let's go. Stop at the hardware store. Now, get out. She says, did you need me to go in? I said, no. I got it. So I go in, and now I'll tell you, I was a little preoccupied, but I went in with the little note that mommy gave me, and I went to the lady in the hardware store, and I said, I need whatever kind of caulk it is that she had written down. And the lady was standing right there in the aisle, and she said, it's right there, right next to me, in the gray tube. I said, because I wanted to act like I knew what I was talking about, I said, I remember that it comes in a toothpaste-like tube, because that's what my wife had told me. So she says, yeah, it's right there. I pick it up, I buy it, $3.29, we go home. Frida went out to go shopping and do other stuff. She said, handle that job. I said, no problem. I went downstairs, got up on the ladder.
You're actually going to run a little caulk around the inside of the frame, or are you actually going to handle, like, the doorway?
No, it's just the frame and on the outside.
All right.
Okay, because that's where water was getting through. So I went out with the ladder, right? Caulk, 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 done, done. Go upstairs. You know what I do? I take the little pad that she gave me where it says what to buy, and I wrote on it, magic marker, I wrote a big OK.
Beautiful.
And I slapped it on top of that tube. And
I say, job well done.
Right. Now I'm going to go watch the NCAAs. So I go in my room. I'm watching the TV. She gets back from going to the mall. She comes in. She says, you are an idiot. I say, why this time? And she says, no. When I went to the store, to the hardware store, I bought glue.
Oh.
Not caulk.
You bought glue?
Glue.
Glue.
Clear household glue. And then when I looked at the tube, it says it in huge letters that Stevie Wonder could have read. It says,
you glued instead of caulk.
Right. Now,
that is beyond my wildest expectations.
My...
Here I was thinking maybe caulked in the wrong place. No. But no, this was better. You outdid yourself this time.
My response to her was, I asked the lady for what you wrote down.
Right.
And that's what she said. And I was thinking about the credit card and everything else. Sure. And as it turns out, just no more than an hour before, I spent maybe 20 minutes lecturing my kid about paying attention. I swear to God. Because we're going through this whole thing with him in school where it's like he keeps forgetting his homework assignments and forgetting his books and stuff. And I must have lectured him, I swear to God, for 20 minutes about how organized I am.
Do that for me, Bart. You pay attention. Dad's going to go down and glue the door.
Right. And then Frida said to me, you're an idiot. You yell at your son for 20 minutes because he can't remember his homework assignments. And look what you did. You glued the door.
Now, if this had been your job from start to finish, you would have paid much more attention. But since it was an assignment, that is the reason that you probably didn't focus.
If it was my job from start to finish, it never would have gotten done. Because, frankly, you know, who cares? And I didn't help the situation by saying to her, well, caulk, glue.
What's the difference?
Either way, the water's not getting in. Right? I put some goo on there. It's like it's a brick wall outside. You can't even tell where I did it. And she was pissed at me for maybe 6 or 7 hours.
Did the door work at all after you had glued it, or was it difficult to function?
Yeah, I did a poor job on it, so of course, the door opens and stuff.
Right.
So I don't know what she was so pissed about.
Does it work? Did the glue work?
No, it did not. Absolutely not. And last night when it was snowing, then she said, why don't you come down and look at your handiwork? And I come down, and the whole wall is just soaking wet.
Oh, really?
Or like water and junk has gone through. And I guess the glue didn't work.
Yeah, that water's saying, hey, look, glue instead of caulk.
Woohoo! Let's go, boys! Come on in and get that wall wet. But I just wasn't in the mood to be yelled at. It's like she was screaming at me. She's just looking at me. She said, she's holding the tube. She goes, look, it says household glue. Household glue. She says, I've been going through this with you for 17 years now. I give you one simple job to do. And I said, okay, you got your pound of flesh? Okay.
House didn't catch on fire.
Come on. Yeah, right. Thank you, Mike.
That's right. Nobody broke anything.
I said, back off. Back off. You got what you want. And she just kept holding it up. She said, how could you not realize this is not caulk? This says household glue.
Glue.
Glue. And I said, I said, what do you want from me?
Will you be able to caulk it now that you've put the glue there? Will it?
I don't know. I didn't know it was a problem to begin with.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. And then she said, I should have known. I can never give you a handyman job around the house. And, you know, then I had to make matters worse. Because then I said, well, I tell you what. maybe your next husband will be a guy who's real handy around the house.
I hate it when you have neighbors, too, that are more handy. You know, that are doing everything. Hey, look what I did. I just made the Leaning Tower of Pisa in my backyard.
At this cocktail party that we went to up the street, then that was the big topic of discussion.
Oh, how you use glue.
The party on Saturday night where, like, 10 different guys came up to me and said, hey. Household glue!
Oh, I hate that.
How you doing, household glue?
And the real handy guys, too, were the ones that probably busted your chops the most.
All the guys that can, like, build decks on the back of their houses.
Yeah,
you know?
Really.
I'm just retarded like that. And I actually said to my wife at one point on Saturday, when I was really mad, I said, honey, I said, I'm an artist, okay? Do you understand me? I'm an artist.
Delicate.
Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do stuff around the house.
These hands are not made for handiwork.
No, they said this brain wasn't made for handiwork. But she wouldn't give it up. I mean, she came back like an hour later. She's still mad at me.
Did she laugh at all during this process?
No, no. She's seriously pissed off at me.
You get a little dizzy when you were doing your projects with...
No, I rushed through it like I rushed through everything. It was like, I went downstairs, I did it in 5 minutes. Yeah, no, put the ladder away and said, hey.
So you didn't notice any, like, glue aroma while you were putting the...
Nah, it wasn't there long enough to notice any kind of glue aroma.
No need.
No. So she was mildly pissed about it. And then even after, like, this was at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Right.
By 5 o'clock, she was still pissed. So she would come in my cave again. I was watching the NCAA. She'd come and she'd go, she'd just look at me. She'd just look at me with her arms folded. And I said, come on. Will you get off it, please? Will you stop? I said, okay, so I forgot.
She called you glue boy at all?
No, just... Okay.
So she was mad. She didn't even make light of it.
No, really. And then, like, I remember everything timeline-wise.
Glue man.
6:30, I was getting ready to go over to up to our neighbor's house, and I walked up behind her, and I hugged her. I said, hi, I love you. And she goes, mm-hmm. I said, are you still mad about the goddamn glue? She goes, mm-hmm. I said, okay, fine. You know, screw you.
Do you ever make a little joke, like, you know, when you walk up after the time has passed, hug her and say, hey, you and I, we stick together like glue or something like that?
No, that doesn't work with her. Doesn't work with her. And then even, like, an hour later, 7:30, when we were getting ready to go, I walked up and I said, you know, I said, listen, sorry you're so mad about that. I'm sorry. You know, I guess I wasn't paying attention when I went in the store. What can I say? She went, what can you say?
Oh, man.
Oh, please. And then she got madder because I said, why don't you just make this into a huge deal?
Oh.
I said, you know, if this is the biggest thing you got to worry about in your life, then
you try to apologize and then you finally get to the apology.
I said, then I pity you. If this is all you got in your life, you got it pretty goddamn good. If the biggest thing in your life that you want to get mad about is the fact that I use glue instead of using the car. I said, well, I should have known. I should have known rather than send you to do that job.
So the door ruined, perhaps, in need of repair?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. Swear to God.
Haven't gone near there.
No, except last night when she told me there was water all over the wall.
Probably. And the room smelled like glue.
So that was the end of the weekend. And that continued up until Sunday morning. And why is it when you have a fight like that? It's like the fight continues until she just decides that it's over.
It's like a tornado. That, you know, varies with degrees of intensity. And sometimes you think, hey, that's just a little dust blowing around there. And you walk up and say, like, whoa, tornado's starting up again.
And then, for whatever reason, Sunday morning, it's just normal with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just normal.
They make that rule.
And I said...
That's right. The time of punishment is in their head, and they make that rule.
I said something to her, like, what about the glue? I said, oh, I love you anyway.
Okay.
That's good.
Great.
Thank you.
Punishment over. That's kind of strange that it happened like that.
I know. She was so pissed.
But it's okay now.
Oh, yeah. Fine now.
Ever forward.
Oh, yeah. We had, like I mentioned.
That's good.
Great juicy relations last night.
Well, that's because there was no glue involved.
And also because the TV was broken.
There you go.
That's nice.
Don't take any glue to your TV.
Never mind.
Never yet.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
All right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
New card. What do you think?
Oh, very nice. Look at that.
Picked them up from the printers yesterday.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Sicilian Braille.
It's very cool, Bateman, but that's nothing.
Look at this.
That is really nice. Eggshell with Romalian type. What do you think?
Nice.
Jesus. That is really super. How'd a nitwit like you get so tasteful?
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
The Don and Mike Show.
tomorrow, Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
I don't know if I want to call George McFly on the air or not. Maybe you call him during the next break for me, Robbie. Okay. See if he wants to talk on the air.
That's fair. Okay.
Gotta be like my secretary.
He'll want to talk on the air.
Want me to call him now?
You wouldn't even have to screen that call. You could call him. No, I mean, he loves being on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
You think he'd be bummed? You know him better than I do.
Buried down in this message, man.
Really?
Buried. Well, let me call him.
See, I know his...
This will cheer him up.
I know his on-air persona better than his off-air persona.
I guess he could always say he didn't feel like talking.
Let me play you the message that he left me, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Like, hey... Honey, don't pick up the phone. I want to play that message that George left.
Oh, sorry, didn't even ring. All right, bye, boo-boo.
Okay, love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
So he's down, but you said he's got prospects, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Said he's got a couple of job offers.
Hello?
Ah, there we go.
Okay, good.
Boo-boo, I erased it. I just remembered.
Oh,
hi.
Oh, sorry. I wrote down his number, but I was just clearing all the messages.
Could you recap the message? Didn't you think he sounded very down in that message?
Yeah, he did.
Mm, yeah.
I'm very, very blown out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He's really down, man. Mm.
Yeah, that was sad.
All right, I love you.
Oh, and he wants more advice from you?
Yeah.
All right.
Go figure that.
I'm sick.
All right, bye, boo-boo.
Although, I don't feel any guilt about that I don't think I did anything to...
You did the opposite. You told him to get his act together.
Yeah. Have George get
fired. Didn't you tell him, wasn't your advice to be happy and do his job and kind of go in there and, you know, do what they told him to do?
Follow the rules when he had to follow the rules, right?
Yeah,
when they're cracking the whip on you, that's when you have to kind of bend over and just take it.
Right.
It's a very fine line. Not too many people know when to follow the rules, only when you have to follow the rules.
Yeah, well, that's right, honey.
Hold on,
let me see. Wait a minute. What's his name? George McFly. I've got him under the M's. McFly.
Uh-huh. I've got him.
Let me see. Do you have his phone number there?
Downstairs. Do you want me to go look?
I got a new number. I'll try it.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Call me if you need me.
Okay.
Bye, sweet pea.
I will. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is my very sensitive wife.
She sounds like she's in a very good spirits today.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't watch that animal show.
Yeah, my wife's really depressed today.
She didn't sound like it when I answered the phone when she called for you.
No, not at all.
Good thing I don't have anything going on with your wife. Because I go to pick up the phone in the office. We have two extensions.
Right.
And as soon as Mike figures out that it's his wife, he picks up the phone, but he didn't say anything.
I was being faithful.
Hey, George?
No, it's Joan.
Joan, hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Joan. How you doing?
Fine.
Listen, how's George doing?
He's hanging in there.
Yeah, I just got his message. We're on the air, Joan, if that's okay.
Are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if George wanted to talk on the air or anything.
Yeah, probably. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Good.
So anyway, Mike's wife calls today in the office, and I pick his phone. I go, hello, like Major Bill.
Right.
And he says, hey, is Mike there? Hey, George, hold on a second. She says, hey, is Mike there? And I say, oh, he might be here. And meanwhile, Mike has picked up the telephone, and he's not saying anything on the extension.
Right.
So it's like if I had something to go with your wife, if she said something like, oh, listen, I really love you so much, then you would have caught us.
Yeah, like you don't.
Not me, Mike, but maybe somebody else on the staff.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Charlie Broyhill.
Carlos Broyhill.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, here he is now, disc jockey extraordinaire George McFly. Hello, George.
Thanks, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, George. Hi, I'm sorry to hear about it, man.
Hey, man.
Thanks, man.
Just got your message right before I went on the air today.
Yeah.
So I was out running a bunch of errands.
Unfortunate. That's writing was on the wall, buddy.
That's why I didn't call you earlier. How you doing?
Relieved.
Yeah, relieved. Okay, all right. That's better than being bummed out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been actually standing in the tub. Joni, thank God for wives, because I have a hairy butt, and she was just trimming it with a groomsman.
On the inside or the outside?
Inside and out. I mean, it's terribly embarrassing.
Oh.
It is.
Oh, it's yours.
You were just having your butt hair trimmed?
Well, yeah, you can't get back there.
Oh, George, how much hair do you have back there?
That's weird, because you notice I'm not a very hairy person. Like, on my chest, I have some and everything. But just all of a sudden, I don't know if it's from the steroids in the past.
She must really love you, man.
But
she must really... She must really love you.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you opened up those two pillows and then
my God,
got the jungle in there.
Did you soak for a while before you started that procedure?
No, it's not with the razor. It's with that dry groomsman.
Yeah.
So the drier the better.
A beard trimmer.
And women find it, you know, not that it matters because I'm married, but women find it repulsive when a guy has a hairy butt.
Yeah, I think most other guys find it repulsive, George.
How about you guys? I mean, do you?
I don't have a particularly hairy butt, and I got a lot of hair all over my body.
No. I am virtually hairless everywhere.
You got some Indian in you, though, don't you?
Which one are you talking to?
You talking to me? No, George, that's a made-up name.
No, I know it is, but, I mean, literally, don't you have some Indian in you?
I don't know. You know I'm adopted. I don't know what I am.
Oh, I bet you do, because, you know, Indians, the Cherokees and all those people, the Cherokee people, they are hairless.
Okay, listen. Tell us about what happened. Now, contractually, are you okay to be on the radio now? I know that they had yelled at you before for coming on our show there.
Yeah, do you remember what I told you, what the write-up actually said? That I'm no longer able to, you know, talk on the air with you guys.
Yeah, and you had also gone on the air at your other friend's station there in Denver, right?
Yeah, but they just called me Freaky George. It wasn't, we didn't say McFly or anything.
All right, so, I mean, is it okay now for you to do this? You're not in any violation or anything?
Yeah, I'm completely unemployed.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, buddy, what happened?
You know what happened. I mean, my contract was up. And, you know, Don, there's so much truth in the heart of it. That's why I told you I feel relieved. I mean, no kidding. It's because I will not play that music ever again. You know, I wouldn't let my daughter listen to it. You know?
The Georgia station, like a hardcore rap station.
Yeah.
Holler if you hear me. Let me hear you say,
Yeah, I know. Music's annoying.
I mean, it's really, really bad.
All right, so listen, you got canned. Did you get any severance?
No.
Ooh. No?
Ouch.
Don't they have to give you some kind of severance?
No, my deal was up.
All right, then what are the prospects? Let's work on the future.
Okay. West Palm Beach, I got something cooking in the morning.
Oh, that's a good place for you.
Well, you know, thing is, remember, guys, I've never been about money. I mean, I'd do this for food money if it was the right format. Remember how much fun it used to be?
Well, I'm just saying the area. I was thinking more like the area. Like, you'd be you're a Florida beach kind of guy, George.
You could get, like, a Rockford Files trailer and live down by the beach.
Yeah, you'd be happy.
Is that even legal?
You'd like the climate, wouldn't you?
Remember, like, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon when he had a trailer on the beach? Is that legal, or is that just...
That's very much, for those of you trying to get a mental picture of George McFly,
yes.
Please think of Mel Gibson and how scatterbrained he is in the movies Lethal Weapon. And that is
right,
our man George.
Scatterbrained.
All right, that's option number one, George, is West Palm Beach. What else you got cooking?
Two things going on in Chicago, believe it or not, my hometown.
Wow. All right, what are those opportunities?
There is this latest rage with this company is jamming oldies. It's like, I don't know, I guess like Donna Summer Bad Boys and...
Sounds to me like music you'd hate.
No, music that I dig. Music, you know, I mean...
Disco?
Are you a disco guy, George?
No, but anything with a beat. See, my problem was...
Working at a station with a beat.
No, but there was no intros. I don't want to get too inside and boring, but,
you get inside. It's all right. Our audience understands. When you talk about intros, he means since George plays records, he wants to work at a station that has lots of time on the intros of records where he can talk.
Yeah, that's
right.
Understandable. Yeah, and that's normal.
Right. And so, jamming oldies format looks good in Chicago.
What is the format in West Palm Beach?
Oh, completely mainstream, straight ahead, Top 40. Mm. You know, great Goo Goo Dolls, that kind of stuff.
That already sounds better to me than you going and playing disco records. But what's your third option?
Okay, Dallas. With Joel Salkowitz. He's a great guy.
Joel Salkowitz!
He hired me.
Joel Salkowitz from the one up in New York?
From Hot 97. Joel Salkowitz,
man,
is the Antichrist.
He's Satan!
Wow. You guys even know him?
Yes,
yeah.
The one from Hot 97.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's a Nimrod.
No.
Christ, they brought him in to try to step on our show when we worked at Waymo.
Is it still Emmis that he's working for?
No, he's with Chandler. Anyway, from what I
wouldn't
recall,
I wouldn't trust Joel Salkowitz.
Just a feet up, very laid back. I love that.
In fairness, we didn't have a tremendous amount of contact.
But do you remember they brought him in to be like an out-of-town consultant for our show?
Yeah, we see that goofy guy.
I remember him.
You do.
Big, bushy beard, little round glasses. Hey, your show's good, but... you guys are just doing too many bits.
Well, you know,
we gotta play the hits, man. Yeah, I remember. That's one thing I do remember. Every goddamn consultant and program director that ever gave me a hard time, I remember. And Joel Salkowitz stifles creativity.
Yeah, he's with the bad company. The company we hated.
Yeah, just the opposite. But you know, I was young, and he just left me alone. You know.
I'm telling you, that guy's bad news, man.
What I recall, great guy. But listen, next...
You gotta make your own decisions, George. You really do.
Sure.
Next, there's a midday opening at Star in L.A.
Oh, that would be a good job for you.
You know, just because. You know, L.A. and normal format again.
That's a good station. Star 98.7, you'd be good there.
Yeah, and so, remember, I got no offers yet, but all bites, nibbles, you know. People calling me up and just wondering what's going on.
Whatever. Here's how I'd rank them, okay?
First would be L.A., okay? Because you'd be able to make the most money there and get the most exposure.
Right.
Second, I'd say West Palm Beach, because you'd be able to branch out and be creative doing a morning show. Third, disco in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth option,
Joel Salkowitz.
Salkowitz, buddy.
Do you guys know Chris Schiebel?
Chris Schiebel is one of my best friends. I'm not, no lie.
I'm kidding. No kidding. This guy is putting on a station in Chicago.
Is he the guy in Chicago?
Yeah, no, this is another one, though. This is a top 40, but Don, it's called a tri-frequency. Help me understand this. It's like 6,000 watts.
Oh, they have three different dial positions because they don't totally cover Chicago. I'll tell you this. As I was running down Salkowitz, I would run up Chris Schiebel. Chris Schiebel is a good guy, man.
Yeah.
Do you remember him, Buzz?
The name's familiar, but I can't put a face with it.
Yeah, remember?
He worked at WLS when we worked at WBBA. He worked at WLS when I worked there. He's kind of pasty, almost looks albino.
Blonde?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very blonde and asexual. For a long time, we thought he might be a queer, but as it turns out, he was just...
I think I've met him. Yeah.
He was just, like, not into men and not into women. He's just... asexual.
Really?
Interesting.
Well,
yeah, but a good guy.
Radio.
Really good guy, though, man.
But he's got all day parts open, and like I said, it's home. But when you press, let's say you're driving around Chicago, if you press scan, you don't pick it up. So, I want to believe in it. I want them to win.
I would put him above Salkowitz. I mean, and you can drop my name with Chris Schiebel. Please do. He's one of the few guys in this business I get along with.
Mm-hmm. I didn't put two and two together, but I recall that you worked at LS and so did he.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that Jam and Oldies format is going on in Dallas and in Chicago.
Ugh.
And they're going to fly me out next Saturday to do an air shift in Dallas.
I just think you're not going to be happy playing disco music, George.
Well, he asked me if I'd be comfortable talking to the listeners and not shucking and jiving over the intros, which I thought I was going to be able to do, but it's the demo is 35-year-old women, and here I'm a 35-year-old guy, and, just more topical, almost like a hot AC approach.
Well, listen, you got to do what you think is right, but I know the real George McFly is the guy that we've been talking to right now. You are a crazy individual, and I could picture you working at a station that targets 35-year-old females, and the first time you do something that's off the wall, they're going to call you and give you all that crap, you say... Picture the ideal 35-year-old woman. We want you to talk about the things you're talking about.
Yeah.
Talk about Ally McBeal, buddy.
Yeah, that you'd probably be frustrated in that situation.
You know, that's what's kind of exciting and why I said at the beginning of the conversation that it's almost like a relief because you're right. Now, it's not like it was 10 years ago where L.A.'s calling, New York's calling, Chicago for when I was a night jock. I'm getting these weird little nibbles like Anchorage mornings or West Palm mornings. And
hey, you'd be good in Alaska, George.
I think you could handle Anchorage.
Oh, I'd love it. I'm serious.
I know you would.
You might want to consider that because you could be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, the entertainment options in Anchorage, Alaska have got to be pretty limited.
Oh, I do it. I mean, seriously, one guy got killed by a moose killed him last year. It was in the paper because he rammed his car into this moose. It's the land.
Should have been on that Fox show last night.
Yeah, I'll tell you, those moose are dangerous. They were on that show last night.
Hold on, George. I got a perspective offer for you right here. A guy in Easton, Pennsylvania says he used to know you. Hello?
Actually, Easton, Maryland.
Oh, Easton, Maryland.
Yes.
Who is it?
George.
Beaver?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's the Beef. I think he called your show before, Don.
Is it Beaver Cleaver?
No, I'm not. That's what I was known as when George and I were living together back in 1986, I believe.
87, my friend.
Were you lovers?
No.
All right. I was just curious.
He was there for 2 weeks and then he split. I don't know. Are you a program director now?
Yes, I am.
Where?
CEI?
That would be it.
WCEI.
All right, listen. Hold on a second there, Gary. George.
Where is that?
That is,
George, that is so small.
That is nothing, man. Yeah. That's nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that the guy probably offered you $16,000 a year there.
Maybe.
Hey, listen, I mean, is it true that does DC 101 have mornings open?
DC 101 sucks.
You know what I mean? But if I went there.
Yeah, if you went there, they just want a guy that's going to play records.
Man. Oh, jeez.
All right, listen, we got to go, but here's my recommendation.
Thank you. I mean, this was very dull conversation, but thank you.
No. You should go after the job in L.A.
Okay.
Then you should try West Palm Beach. Then you should try Chris Schiebel.
Anchorage.
Then Anchorage, yes. And you know what I'd say? Eastern Maryland, before you work for Joel Salkowitz.
Oh, okay.
I think George, Joel Salkowitz.
Beautiful country down there in Easton.
I swear to God, Joel Salkowitz is an evil guy, man.
Swear to God, I don't recall that. He's been nothing but a pleasant memory to me.
Well, you got
to
follow your own heart, too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and just, you know, as I'm humbled and just sitting, sharing a seat with my ass at home, it's just nice when these people call, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, let us know what happens. And if you need anything, please do call.
Well, I was kind of wondering. Remember what we talked about all along? How, you know...
You can't work on this show, George.
Well, the thing is I don't even want any money. Just put me up...
George, you can't work on this show. Well, I don't have room for you. I got Mike. I got Buzz.
Yeah, I know.
I got Robbie. Carlos Broyhill. Christine. No room at the inn. Sorry, George.
I know, but just... No. You know I listen to you guys every night.
Appreciate it. But, George, listen, really, me and Mike got a thing going here. Sorry.
And you
got
to make a living anyway, George.
You can't come up here and work for free. Live in my basement. You can't do that.
I went through a bankruptcy. I am 100% debt-free.
Good. No, that's good. All the more reason to, start putting some money away.
Well, okay, yeah. See, guys, my future looks bright. My father does pretty well, you know, and I found out in, like, about 10 years or wherever, I'll have, like, $1 million.
Oh, so when your dad dies, you're going to do good?
Yeah.
How old's your dad?
59.
You might want to think about hiring a guy to kill your dad.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to be homeless. I have family.
All right, but listen, good. George... You know I love you, but this show's not an option for you. This is the second time that I have had to have this. This is the same conversation I had to have with Lewis the Retard right before we went on the air today.
Well, but come on. I mean, am I Lewis the Retard?
No, you're not, but I had to say the same thing to him as I'm saying to you.
You know, after 13 years, we have it pretty well oiled, honed and refined, George.
And let me say that again, though, that you're right, Mike. You're right. But can you make a great show... tremendous? I don't know. I mean...
George, listen, I'm very happy with the way everything's going right now on this show. I'd like to help you out.
You stick a gun in your mouth because I have a fatigue factor, don't I? Don't I?
What?
I have a fatigue factor.
George, it has nothing
for so long.
It has nothing to do with you. I'm happy with Mike. Buzz does a great job. I got Rob A. Spiewak in the wings. Hell, there's hardly room enough for all of us to talk now as it is.
No, I agree. You know, so basically you made my decision for me. I have to do mornings and stay somewhere.
Okay. Right. Listen, just be happy, man. If you need any advice, if you need a reference, call me.
Thank you so much, man. And I mean that.
And would you like to say anything to your former program director? That son of a bitch who's probably listening to this right now?
He actually made a phone call to the guy in West Palm for me and talked me up.
I hate that when a guy is two-faced like that. When a guy on one hand will fire you, but then will call the next guy to tell him to hire you.
Yeah.
But there was,
because, you know, if I'm the guy in West Palm, I go, well, if this guy's so great, why'd you fire him?
But there was truth in the heart of it. I couldn't stand the music. He knew it.
Yeah.
Finally, he wanted somebody that really believed in it.
All right, so you don't want to say anything bad about him. That's okay.
Yeah, it's just not in my character. You know that.
Okay, I got you.
You know, and now that I'm done. The one thing I will say, though, is I am done, and I will never compromise myself again.
Good.
I am done with Churban Net rap radio. Never again.
All right, good. Well,
even if I have to dig ditches, I swear to God.
All right, well, let me know how it goes.
Good luck, George.
All right, thanks so much.
Good luck. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, there is George McFly.
He's something, isn't he?
He certainly is.
You gotta love him, though.
And hey, he's a, you know, he's a guy that knows how to get another job, so he'll be he'll be fine.
No, I mean, that guy's talented as all get out, man. He's talented. No way I can stay working with him.
He's
even if you had the big old coronary, Mike.
He's an interesting guy.
I don't think that's gonna happen, George. I hate to get your hopes up. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, Don on my show.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I just wanted to let you guys know through the grapevine here at work, I am from Sacramento.
Are you drunk?
Am I drunk?
Yes.
Well, let's not talk about that now.
Are you?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Good call, Mike.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you've had one on a Friday afternoon.
Really, sir, though. Really, really.
Come on, what do you want?
Okay, well, there's a... I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but...
You're speaking in,
I swear to God,
you are speaking in such veiled references.
When it surfaces in the paper, you'll know.
Okay, thank you.
Have another drink.
Okay.
All right.
Two.
Bye-bye. God.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Angela. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you,
I'm
Angela.
I'm 66 trying to make it home. But anyhow, that guy George that you were talking to and being very generous with.
George, listen.
He kind of reminds me of Lutard. I mean, he just didn't get the point that there was no room for him at your station.
George is nothing like... George is nothing like Lewis. George is, first off, a very talented guy.
And he's humble also, and he was very humble, and he was very thankful, and he's very respectful. And
George has a good heart, man. It's just George really loves this show, and the whole time I've known George, it's kind of been his dream to work with me, but it's, you know, it's just not going to happen, man.
Oh, okay.
He told me that it was his dream to work with me, though. That's what he said to me when he spoke to me in private. He said that a long time ago. He said,
did he really?
He said, I want to, and Mike O'Mara, I've wanted to work with you for my whole life.
Both in,
Rob,
huh?
You too?
Yeah, last night.
Buzz, did he ever speak to you?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, he did.
Well, anyhow.
You guys are all just jealous because there's someone else that wants to work with me. That's okay.
That's true.
That's all right. Don't be threatened. I'm not leaving you.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going anywhere. We got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's all we had when I was a kid, Robitussin. No matter what you got, Robitussin better handle it. Daddy, I got asthma, Robitussin. I got cancer, Robitussin. Leg, Daddy poured Robitussin on it. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get in there, boy. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get on down to the bone. Yeah, the tussin ought to straighten out the bone. It's good. If you run out of tussin, put some water in the jar, shake it up, more tussin. More tussin.
The Don and Mike Show. Tomorrow, Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
My midlife crisis is officially over.
Oh, congratulations.
That's right. I traded in my, my sports car.
I remember that, that car was a great source of controversy.
Yes, and I bought a Volvo.
You don't get any more conservative than that.
Wow.
So my old maid aunt
used to drive
a Volvo.
Just wanted to mention that my my extension is now out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm driving a Volvo. I'm not actually driving it yet. This is a pisser.
What?
You go in, you buy the car, right? Has this ever happened to anybody? You go in, you get the car, you agree on a deal,
mm-hmm.
you give them your old car.
Yes.
Right. I give up my, you know, midlife crisis car.
Mm-hmm.
They give me the car, the new car. I drive it home. As soon as I'm driving it,
right.
I notice there's a light that goes on that says check engine. So I turn around and I take it back.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back and they go, oh, you know what? There's a problem with the in-car computer that you better drop it off and we'll have it for you later.
Gee, that didn't take very long.
I said, okay, listen, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, but the moment of excitement is kind of quashed by that.
It's gone. I mean, the new car smell will be gone by the time I get the car.
You're going to have mechanic smell.
So then I call them up today and I go, hey, you know, I've been waiting all weekend.
Right.
Ready for that car. Ready for the drive into work.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says to me today, you know what? It needed a part. And it needs a part that we had to overnight.
Yeah, because there's no such thing at a car dealership as having the part in stock. It doesn't happen.
I know that they were looking for a plug today, and they're all probably listening right now at the car dealership.
Uh-huh.
And I would have given them a nice plug if
you had your car.
If I had had the car drive today, but I don't have the car to drive today, so I don't feel like giving them a nice plug
today. Don't blame you.
And besides, I mean, although they were very nice at this place that we bought the car,
uh-huh.
they gave us a real nice deal.
Good. Yep.
when I met the people in the dealership on Saturday, like the sales manager and some of the other salespeople, you know, I got that whole thing because of our show. And I'm sure you get this too, Mike, when you go out. When somebody meets you and they're like standoffish with you, and one of the guys comes up and says, hey... He shakes my hand. I think, finally, I got a fan, because everybody else is like standoffish with me.
Yeah, it's much better, and you know, the simple modus operandi is to go to the corner of the dealership and stare.
They go, oh, you're on 106.7, right?
Yeah, like they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's just that moment of awkward silence. One guy comes over and he goes, hey, shakes my hand. Hey, I've tried to call you up. I think, finally, got a fan. He says, yeah, I really wanted to cuss you out one day.
Oh, God.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much. A pleasure to be doing business with you.
Thank you, buddy. So,
thank you.
Listen, I'll get the car eventually, but the midlife crisis is officially over. Second thing I want to tell you about is maybe this is a sign from God.
Yes.
You know that I hadn't been to church in about 5 months. We've kind of gotten out of the habit of going to church.
Right.
So one of our things for Lent was that we were going to, you know, get back into the swing of going to church.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to church this weekend, and guess who I sit in two rows behind?
Who?
Ken Starr. Oh, my God. I tell you this, it made church a lot more interesting for me.
I'll bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't so much focus on what was being said.
Did you go to the goofy church?
Yeah. I went to the goofy church.
That's where you go.
I went to the goofy church.
How was the goofy church?
Kind of goofy.
It sounds interesting, though.
Kinda,
a lot of people go there.
Kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I made a deal with my family about this.
Right.
That, I don't really want to talk about all this on the air, all the problems I had at the other church that I went
right,
to.
Right, right.
That, well, suffice to say, the church that I used to go to.
Right.
Okay.
When I got in trouble, when I got arrested.
Mm-hmm. When you might need, like, the church to help you out,
yeah,
support.
That church said to me... In more than a roundabout way, why don't you keep a low profile now? And that, you know, that kind of hurt my feelings.
It all came at a time when you probably didn't need that.
Right, but I don't want to bring that up here. So that's why we stopped going to that church, because they, you know.
Well, I made that connection because somebody had said to me that they go to that church and they'd seen Ken Starr there.
It was a trial.
Really?
There are a lot of different churches we're going to go to. We're going to find a new church, and this was one of the churches that I promised my family I would try to go to, this Jim and Tammy Faye Baker church.
Sure.
And one thing that made it kind of interesting for me was that I spent the whole hour
staring, giving him a dirty look.
Looking at the back of his head. I was thinking, this is the guy that's busting Clinton's...
Good Christian.
This is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know... Should I say something to him? Like on the way out, you know, because you got that thing where you go like, good day to you, and you know.
Right, yeah, peace be with you, right?
Walk up and shake hands, go, hey, I'm a shock jock. And you're the guy that's busting Clinton. But here we are in church together.
Isn't life grand? I hear they have some pretty good music there.
Oh, they have a killer sound system. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Right.
This church that I went to, just a trial, mind you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Killer sound system, like going to a show at US Air Arena.
Right.
I mean...
a lot of people there, too, huh?
Oh, like going to a rock concert.
I mean, I've heard people rave about it.
Took us an hour to get in, took us an hour to get out.
Oh, dear.
If I do go to that church, I got to go to a much earlier service.
Right. How long is the total time commitment?
About an hour.
Oh, that's all right.
About the same as going to a regular church.
Not a lot of the ritual, too, right? A lot more preaching?
Yeah, no communion.
Cool.
That's one thing I didn't dig. No, I like going up every
week.
You
like getting the host.
I like getting my piece of bread and my blood.
Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, being as one with the J-Man.
Well, that's the Catholic thing from two religions ago.
That's
that
right.
And I speak from experience, too. Once they ingrain
you
with
that... out two religions ago. I'm on my third religion now. I think the goofy church, though, is kind of a church that's... I'm still an Episcopalian.
Right.
I'm still a card-carrying Episcopalian.
Of course.
Upset with the last church that I was going
to. I think that, you know, you get ingrained with certain rituals... And once you do that, you kind of, it's a comfort zone, and that's going all the way back to the Catholics, too. And that's one of the things you liked about the Episcopals, is that they, you know, they worked in all that Catholic stuff.
Going to an Episcopal church is like going to Catholic church, except without all the bull ass.
Right, exactly. It was a lot less of the ritual. But,
all the prayers were like cut in quarter.
Mm-hmm.
All the time that you have to sing and stuff was like cut in a quarter.
Now, see, the one I go to, but I only go once a year at Christmas. I will tell you, and maybe it's because it is a Christmas.
That's
service.
When they junk it up for Christmas when they put in all the super religious.
Well,
stuff.
They put the hymns that, you know, I was never used to singing all
the verses.
Oh.
In some cases, all five verses
right.
of the hymn.
Oh.
And every hymn, they sing all five verses.
Oh, that
and
had
by
to
the
be.
End, I'm just going.
That had to just be for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
It was a special deal for Christmas where they pulled out all the stops.
So you liked the experience. Outside of getting Ken Starr.
Well, that was the big highlight for me, was sitting two rows behind Ken Starr.
I would think sitting two rows behind him, even though you were in a place of worship, you would feel the presence of some sort of Satan.
I did.
No, it was okay. But like I said, we're going to go to pretty much a different church every week until we find
good.
A church that we as a family can all agree that we like.
Well, I admire you for doing
it. It might end up being this goofy church that we went to last week, or it might be the one that we're going to next week.
Are you going to explore any of the Eastern religions?
No. No, listen, it's going to be...
I know your wife has been very interested in certain spiritual aspects.
Christ, she even went to a Quaker church one time where she said, all you do is sit around and don't say anything for an hour.
Oh, really? Meditation.
Yeah.
She liked that, though.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't picture going to that.
I am so totally open-minded right now. I've never been, but then again, Sunday comes rolling around and we're getting close to spring.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one religion that I have, and it's it's in a leather bag in my garage.
Yeah, right.
But I'm totally open-minded. I mean, all the way open-minded about stuff like that. I guess that's why people end up like in cults. Because when they're looking for something, that's when you're vulnerable. And if you find something that all of a sudden is brand new, you end up on some island drinking Kool-Aid.
Well, I have very distinct ideas about God and about Jesus anyway that I've kind of articulated anyway.
Yeah, you shared those on Friday. They were terrifying.
No, just what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that God is all loving to everybody, bad people, good people, in between people. So when you're on this earth, you can act any way you want and do anything you want, but it doesn't matter. You still got a blank check to get into the next area. Now, what you try to do is live your life kind of good, just so it's for yourself. You're not doing it like for God. I definitely don't.
And I'm bringing, even though I'm not a practicing person like you are, I'm bringing a lot of that guilt from the Catholicism right into this show each and every week.
I definitely don't believe all this crap about someone is up there keeping score and going, oh, well, look at that. You said, goddamn, that's another check. You're going to hell. I definitely do not believe that.
Right. Yeah.
Because we have free will to say whatever we want. If God didn't want us to say goddamn, God wouldn't have given us the chance to say goddamn.
Well, you never hear it, but when you do say that, when you say the GD thing.
Goddamn.
When you say that, every single time, you never hear me say it, but under my breath. See, listeners can't hear because I do it off mic, too, but if I was to do it on mic, it would be, you'd say.
Goddamn.
And I go, sorry. Real quick. You didn't hear it?
No. Goddamn. Goddamn.
Let me turn your microphone up.
Goddamn. Did you say I'm sorry?
He's sorry.
He's sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Stop it. You're going to ruin everything.
God has a sense of humor,
man.
You're
going to ruin everything.
I mean that. God has a total sense of humor.
Well, God has a total sense of humor.
I really believe. He's up there laughing every time I say goddamn. He goes, see, there. You know what God says? There's a guy that gets it.
God made Carrot Top. Of course he's got a sense of humor.
There's a guy that
marvelous.
Gets it.
Marvelous.
All right, well, enough about a church.
Carrot Chop, he made Jerry Lewis, he made all those. He made serious people that are funny, even though they're trying to be serious.
And they're all going to heaven. Even a guy like Carrot Top, who's never entertained anybody in his life, he's going to heaven. So's Gallagher. Oh,
but, God. What I'm curious, if all the bad people are going to heaven, my idea of heaven is when you get up to heaven, that there are all these people there that you, my real idea of heaven is that when you get to heaven, you see the people that you've missed and that you're reunited. That's my idea of heaven. Mm-hmm. You've got all these real crappy people there.
No, but
you won't have to see them, right? I won't have to see people that I hate in heaven.
No, you don't. But Saddam Hussein, he's got a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Saddam Hussein,
I think he killed his mom though.
Who knows? He'd still go to heaven, in my humble opinion.
But wouldn't see her.
I'm not saying that.
She'd be mad at him.
I think he'd see her. I really believe that in my heart.
If he wanted to.
Yeah, sure. Maybe he doesn't want to see her.
If he didn't want to, he probably wouldn't.
So then you don't believe in hell.
No, I don't. I definitely do not believe in hell.
Hell would be empty under your plan.
There is no hell, Buzz.
Right.
Well, working here is hell.
I think
working for Westwood One is hell.
I don't know if there's hell per se. I think there's a big waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Big waiting room where everybody's kind of cooling their heels, and it's like...
Yeah, I don't buy that either. No, trust me.
It's like Westwood One.
Nobody is keeping score.
And I am not going to trust you.
Nobody,
I'm not going to trust you on religion.
You wait until we die.
I'll trust you on everything, but
you wait until we die.
You on religion.
Just wait until we die, and when we're up there, I will have the supreme last laugh, and you will look at me and you say, you know what, buddy? You were right.
I don't know where you get all the answers.
You were right.
I don't know who you're talking to, where you're getting all the answers, but it must be an incredibly good feeling to get all the answers as far as all the to have everything. The
you
one
really
thing, you
think,
know the one thing
you
I'm
really
sure
think
about,
someone is up there keeping score and
no,
every time
you know
you do
the one
something
thing,
bad.
You know what the one thing I'm sure about? I am sure that I have no clue, and I'm just trying to figure it out as best I can. I don't think anybody has the answers.
I'm not busting your balls.
I don't think anybody
I'm
has
sure
the answers.
I know. I'm sure that I know. I mean, I swear to God, no pun intended. I'm not busting your balls. I'm not just trying to get an argument with you.
Yes, yes.
I really believe this. This is the way that it is. Go ahead.
That's good.
Live it up.
Well, that's
have
good
fun. Everybody's going to heaven.
Well, see, there are a lot of people that are just as sure as you are and are saying, you know, a lot of different things.
They're wrong. What do you want me to say? They're totally wrong. I'm totally right.
I think my religious beliefs are kind of like based on a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know, there's a powerful being who is a very forgiving God. And I will meet you a certain part of the way. I think that there, you know, that there is some kind of atonement for everything we do on this planet.
And I don't even know if I buy all this all religion stuff, to be honest with you, because the people that are preaching us the religion,
mm-hmm,
they're all just regular guys.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
that's
like
right
what I say about
they're
the Pope.
People too.
That's what I
right
say about the Pope all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're just people that put on Star Trek uniforms, mm-hmm, to a certain extent.
That's right.
And because they go to some school and because they don't, buddy, like in the Catholic Church, because they don't have sex, they become a priest.
Some of the some of the worst people in history that have oppressed their fellow man and tortured and maimed and mutilated
wars
have done so in the name of religion and have been very powerful religious. You know, let me point out, the Spanish Inquisition.
I mean, you know,
a lot of people have been hurt over religion over
right
the years.
Oh, yeah. Well, religion is what you really think. And what I think is what I just said, that everybody's cool and, you know, God's got no problem with me saying, God damn, God's got no problem with me wishing someone that calls our show and makes an ass out of themselves, wishing them dead. He's got no problem with that. Trust me. Trust me on that, Mike. I'm positive I'm right about that.
Trust me.
Positive I'm right.
Trust me. That's, you know, the only time I don't
see
trust
you in
people
heaven.
You know, the only time I don't trust people is when they say, trust me. And that goes from anybody selling me anything. You know, if a guy's like, even if I'm buying a piece of computer software. And
I'm not selling.
Trust me. The nice thing about living where we live is that everybody can have their own ideas, and that's mm-hmm what's good about it.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, even if you're a guy like Mike that doesn't go to church a lot,
mm-hmm,
you know, I know sometimes you feel guilty about that because of our Catholic upbringing and everything.
Yes. I feel guilty about everything.
Well, you should. You really shouldn't, because it doesn't matter if you go to church. You don't. You go to church if you feel like it. If you feel like going, it'll help you out. You go to church. If you don't, don't worry about it, man.
If I give up my guilt, you know what? You're gonna have a little piece of dust over here. I mean, that's who I am. The guilt has been so ingrained in my fiber of my being. It's the Catholic guilt. I could seriously convert to any religion in the world. I could walk around, like, have my head shaved, wear an orange robe, and set myself on fire. But that Catholic guilt would still be deep inside. And, you know, it was not just my family that did it. It's the priest that I sat down at dinner with every mm-hmm Sunday. It's the nuns, it's everything, man. It's
screw them.
Guilt, guilt, guilt.
Screw them. I went to Catholic school. My brother and I were kicked out of Catholic school when we were little kids. I swear to God we were.
I know.
We were.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies after. You say things.
Nuns are just women. Priests are just men. They think about sex.
Mm-hmm.
When someone cuts them off in traffic, they give them the finger. They're just like us. They just.
I'm not afraid of the nuns. I'm afraid of what the nuns were telling me all those years. You know, all those. You know, the greatest thing that they did, and this, I don't think they do this anymore to kids when you're getting your first Holy Communion, and they used to say, it's a sin if you chew the wafer. Do you remember that one?
I heard that.
You remember how hard that was?
I heard that in CCD class.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you another thing I did. I swear to God.
What?
The first time a nun told me that,
mm-hmm,
I chewed it.
No!
Now, I didn't do it in front of her, so as like to flaunt it, but
right,
I chewed it to see what would happen. Like to see if like my head would explode
like
or something.
Like your tongue would swell up. I mean, in certain classes, I think way, way back, they would actually say, you know, you're actually, you'll choke if
okay
you chew the
I'll
wafer.
I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
We had to go to confession. Please, give me another outdated,
mm-hmm,
totally farcical, go to confession. Hey, hi priest, how you doing? Yeah, I was a real bad guy. I punched my brother in the nose and I cheated on a history test this week. Okay, 5 Hail Marys.
Right.
You know what I would do? I would sit out in the pew and I go, la 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 la, la 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 la. I'd look around, I'd tie my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say one prayer. prayer. I swear to God. Because I want to see what would happen. Not going to happen.
Living on the edge.
It's a big ritual, man. It's a big ritual. Come on. It all gets back to that thing about checks and balances. Please, really. Because I cheated on a...
Say the prayer.
Because I cheated on a history test in seventh grade. Some guy's going to give me absolution. I got to say a prayer five times and God's going to... I've fought this since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. These things that I'm saying now, I fought them... I swear to God since I was a little kid. Ridiculous. Don't chew the wafer.
Remember that one?
Don't chew the wafer. I chew the wafer every time. Ever since I was a kid in CCD class, I chew the wafer.
Well, I think they let you chew the wafer now.
Yeah, they had waived wafer chewing by the time I got to CCD.
Yeah, you're that age.
They
right?
said it's preferred not to because it doesn't look good. But chew it if you have
what
to.
What they ought to do is when you're drinking the community wine, that's you ought to be careful on that one.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that tuberculosis that you got happening in church.
And they do that thing where they just take like an old snot rag and they wipe off the side of the jug and you pass from person to person. That's not very sanitary.
Right. Yeah, and especially when the lady that's, in the Episcopal service is assisting the priest and, walking along going, okay.
Oh.
Here you are. Here's your wine.
You know what people think about that, really? What? I'm sure people rationalize that by thinking, well, God will clean up those germs because she's working for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, come on. No. Please. You're going to get the galloping goobies.
The creeping crud.
Yeah, the creeping crud. Thank you, Mike. That's
wash your hands when you come down from any service. I think that's smart. Please. Especially if you're doing a lot of that handshaking. Wash your hands when you get home from the service.
Well, anyway. That's how I feel about religion.
Well, you're at peace with that. You're happy with your certainty about how you feel.
I'm totally happy with it. And if I'm wrong, hey, I'll see you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried about it in the least.
That's the best thing of all, probably.
What?
That you're not worried about it. That you can, live day to day without worrying about it.
Oh, you're worried. You're probably more worried than Mike is. You just keep it all bottled up inside.
No, I think so, Buzz. No, I think Mike's more worried than I am.
No, I think you're more worried than Mike. I think Mike is open about his worries.
Let me tell you something right
about
now.
About his worries, his worriedness.
I'm worried when I get into my car every day. I'm worried. I live in a state of constant worry. Every day of my life, guilt and worry. Now, I might come in here and talk a good game, but let me tell you something right now. If I don't get guilty and worry, that's who I am. I would be very uncomfortable if I wasn't filled with guilt and worry every single day of the week. Guilt and worry are two good things. They're wonderful. They give me strength. They give me strength to come in here and make it into work and to pay my bills on time.
See, that's why I was always late paying my bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I had such bad credit.
I've got stellar credit. I've got fantastic credit.
Here's the hotline. I bet this is my wife. Hello.
Hi, Boo.
Honey.
I wanted to tell Mike something.
Yes.
You know, you don't worry because you're Catholic. The past life regressionist?
Yes, why am I worried?
Oh, honey, don't bring that up.
Are you saying that I did something awful in my past life?
Exactly. That's what she told my sister, who's not Catholic, who always feels guilty and is always apologizing. And it comes from a past life where you were bad, you did something that you didn't ever resolve, and you feel guilty about it.
Well, I've done an awful lot of bad things in this life, so, give me a little credit for that. I don't need any past life regressions.
I'll be in the next life, then.
So this means I'll be a warrior in the next life,
too.
Bummer.
All right, honey.
All right, boo-boo.
Love you. Oh, listen, as long as you're on the line, I'd like to say something publicly.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody listening to the show who might see my wife in carpool or in her yoga class or anything, I do not beat my wife.
Oh, really?
I do not beat my wife. She has a giant neck brace on today.
What happened?
Oh, my God.
Well, she fell down the stairs. She just wouldn't listen. That's what happened. She's a much better listener now.
Oh, my God.
You know, our doctor, who is our pal and who knows you, thought that maybe you were a little too vigorous in the nighttime.
Wow, that'd be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? I bet that could happen.
She had, she had the bad flu. On Saturday and Sunday, very sick and very achy. And then, what does the doctor say? Your vertebrae are too close or something?
I'm aging, believe it or not.
No.
And I just slept on my neck wrong. And he prescribed many massages, and so I was grateful.
Oh, mini massage.
I'm getting one today, one tomorrow, and that was the prescription.
Hey, my magic fingers were for you this weekend, didn't they?
Your magic fingers were Gestapo in their last life. Now, they do the trick. They're wonderful. They rub away the bumps, but it is no pleasurable experience.
And my wife's got these bumps under her skin, like in her back, where when I rub my wife's back,
little knots in the muscle.
Yeah, they're
I can
knots.
Feel like little...
Yeah, they're not bumps. It's not like she's the elephant. She's got knots in her muscles. She doesn't have hideous bumps underneath the
bumps.
Tumorous, fibrous tumors underneath her skin.
I am not an animal.
Well, if I did have him, he could rub them away. Because it is, he uses the brute strength.
Yeah, I do a pretty good job to get my wife in line.
That's Swedish, right? Deep tissue? Or,
I believe so, yes.
Or shiatsu deep tissue? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's a...
Shiatsu. That's like a dirty word, Mike. Shiatsu. It's spelled like S-H-I. Shiatsu.
The same muscles when I say, can you open this jar, and you see this the grimace on a man's face?
Mm-hmm.
That's the muscles that are used when I have little knots in my back.
That makes me feel like such a man. I did that yesterday for my wife. When she brings me a jar, would you open this, please?
Right.
I go, yeah, sure. Watch this, honey.
Love that.
Like that. Yeah, I'm your man. All right, honey, love you.
All right, goodbye, love you.
Goodbye. I do not beat her.
But she has a neck collar on.
Wow. She could kick the crap out of you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow, Don and Mike are back, live in studio. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Frieda and I finally went to the gingerbread house.
Ah, the estate of Buzz Burbank.
Yeah. For a long time, you know, Buzz has wanted to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you why Buzz is goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz bought a house way back when I worked with Buzz, BM, before Mike, long time ago, 15 years ago.
Right.
Buzz bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got fired. How long after did you get fired?
3 months after I bought the house.
So ever since then, Buzz, a little superstitious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still maintain he's more guilty and he's more worried than you are, Mike.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
He never buys a house again because he bought a house once. And, you know, you're radio, you get fired all the time.
Sure.
So how long have you been working with me and Mike now, Buzz? 7 years?
A little over 7 years now, yeah.
7 years.
Yeah.
So... You know, and I love the way we all applaud that. That's good.
We, you know, sometimes we do a really good job giving you each other the gratuitous applause.
Well, Mike, you and me have been working together almost 14 years.
Yay! Yay!
And Rob, you've got a bad marriage.
Yay!
April will be 5
what?
Years.
What?
But April will be 5 years with the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
okay. All right, great.
So anyway, I'm surprised you... I would guess you would count Rob It's Your Life. I was going to say, why would anybody care about Rob A. Spiewak's term with the show, but Rob A. Spiewak would care since it's his life.
How long have you been... You've known about the show for prior to that, though. I mean...
Listen to Don since 1980.
There you go.
Stalker.
So the whole time I've known Buzz, he's been very uptight about buying a house. And
sure.
Right. He's been working with us for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for goodness sakes, if you don't have job security working with me and Mike, you're not going to have job security, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We tell him all the time, you're not going to be fired. Unless you don't do the farting contest. So... More than me, it's been Frieda kind of pushing them all the time. When are you guys going to buy a house? And like, she would send Marcia stuff from the newspaper. Here's a beautiful house that you should buy.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to get you to buy Rudy Marsky's house when he moved down to Atlanta.
We considered that, yeah.
So Buzz and Marcia finally buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
They finally get a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very worried because around the time you're having your surgery,
right?
You had thought, I'm sure you had thought that that would be the catalyst, that you'd have your surgery,
mm-hmm.
buy the house,
mm-hmm.
next step 3 months later, can.
Seemed like a natural. Really
so you really
like
have been paranoid about buying a house for that reason,
well,
because
you know,
of your awful memory of that that experience.
You know, just the once burned, twice shy thing. You know,
right.
It's a house is can be a hard thing to unload, so you don't want to be burdened with that in the event that you
see?
Know.
And burden is your thing, isn't it? You don't like
lives.
Burden, do you?
No, burden is not good.
Maybe you're right about what you said about
I know. See, the thing is, I don't worry that much at all.
Mm-hmm.
You worry a lot, but you're very upfront about it, Mike. That's
right.
Like one of your big personalities. Traits.
Yep.
Buzz, bubbling underneath with Buzz, you got to talk to him for a while to figure out how worried he is about everything. How on eggshells he is about life.
No, but a lot of it was just, you know, the carefree apartment lifestyle. You go down to the pool instead of mowing the lawn.
Wait a minute. You and your wife are grown up.
Right.
You're way past 45.
Well,
you live like high school kids in an apartment. No.
Yes.
No. Grown-ups like houses. You like living in a house. Your wife likes living in a house.
Mm-hmm.
You were afraid you're going to get canned. Because it happened to you 15 years ago.
I was being careful. I don't think I was living in fear.
So how long between the last time you bought a house and the time you bought this house, how many years had passed?
Oh, that would be at least 14 years.
14 years.
By then. Yeah.
So it took you a while to take the plunge again.
No, about 10, a little over 10 years.
All right.
So he finally gets the house. He finally buys a house. You know, bites the bullet,
mm-hmm.
buys a nice house.
Bought it close to the station because he didn't want to be burdened with a lengthy commute.
Exactly.
That's right. Burden is not good.
That's right. So we got invited over a while ago. We finally were able to work out both of our schedules to go over and see the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've got to be honest that there was a part of me that thought maybe you would just, like, borrow somebody's house, you know, like, rented a house.
Just to show you that they were in a house, and then they go back to the comfort of their apartment.
Their apartment life. Yeah, but no, it's definitely a house that Buzz and Marsha live in.
Right.
It's a beautiful house. Very nice house. It's like Dick Van Dyke's house. Mm-hmm. It's like a 60s house, like cool. A retro house.
Yeah, that's right. He told me that. Mm-hmm.
And when you go in the house, I know you could relate to this, Mike. The first thing that Free and I said, we went in the house, we said, oh, it's obvious that Buzz and Marsha have no children.
Mm-hmm.
Because the house... it's so friggin' neat.
Everything is in its place.
It made us sick. That is all we talked about all the way home. And as soon as we got to our house, right. And we opened the door,
right.
And we see, I'm sure just like your house, yeah. Mike, you know, piles of junk everywhere. My kids'
right.
Socks on the floor, school mm-hmm. books all over,
right.
Groceries out, the breakfast plate still sitting mm-hmm. out. You go into Buzz's house, it's like walking into Felix Unger's house. First off, he's got, you know, this thing about... neatness and cleanliness.
Right. Yes,
where everything,
important.
All the stuff on his refrigerator, all the magnets and all the pictures, they're all equally lined up at equal distance
that way.
From each other.
That would be Marsha, but yes. That's
you go
true.
Into his kitchen and there's a calendar, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's got like things I got to do, like Buzz go to doctor, or Marsha right. get oil change in the car. Mm-hmm. Each one written in tiny little itsy bitsy letters, all of them absolutely on level.
That's Marsha.
Each one. And each one a quarter inch down in the little box on the calendar.
Uniform.
But that's not all just Marsha, because...
is Marsha the one who is the catalyst behind remembering all the birthdays of our children and things like that?
She's the one who keeps this calendar, and every year, every January 1st, when she gets a new calendar, she copies all of the birthdays from the previous year's calendar onto the new calendar.
So she's the one who's...
that's,
when we're giving you the credit for being thoughtful, she's the one that does all that.
He's the main catalyst. Right. Yes, that's true.
But he's plenty anal in his own right.
Oh, I know that. Yes, yeah.
So we're getting walked around the house. Mm-hmm. We walk into his computer room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like walking into a museum. Everything is so neat. Uh-oh. Everything is so perfectly aligned. We go into their bedroom. You know, we got the total tour.
Right.
And of course, Frida was like, you know, girl stuff. Well, mm-hmm. let me see the closets. Let me see what kind of closet space you have. You open up the closets.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, listen to this. Every shirt, of course, neatly pressed.
Mm-hmm.
All of them in a row, so neatly. Blue shirts together, red shirts together.
Color-coded shirts.
Striped shirts together.
This would be Marsha. This would be
Marsha. No. Hold on. You can say this all you want, but listen to this. You go downstairs to a TV room.
Right.
You got like a state-of-the-art TV set down there and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tapes alphabetized.
Yes. Now that's me.
Where you go downstairs and you see like Larry Sanders, number 1 through number 150.
Mm-hmm.
All of them in line and order. Then he's got these other tapes. A to B, C to D, E to F, mm-hmm. G to H. He's got all of his stuff. All of his CDs are lined up immaculately, all of them, alphabetically.
Yes, they are.
Alphabetically.
Unbelievable.
Alphabetically, his CDs, it starts like with ABBA and America, right?
All the way through ZZ Top.
Sure, that's absolutely. Right.
You throw G-bomb. A couple of Rugrats in the house, you're not doing that. That's not getting done.
No, that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's what we kept saying as we were walking around the house. Pretty, and I just said, do you believe this?
Yeah.
And you know how we make ourselves feel better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than just say we're slobs and they're very neat, we'd say, well, they don't have children.
Oh, that's the excuse. That's the excuse. And it's a valid, you know, it is a valid excuse.
Sure it is.
I mean, I came out of my shower today. I go looking down. I look in the living room. Half the living room floor, a sequence of baby carrots.
Wait, I got to tell you.
Spread out on the floor by my one-year-old.
Two more things I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Workout room.
Right.
You go into the workout room. He's got like one of those health cycles in there.
Right.
He's got his shoes neatly in a little corner where it's like it's the spot for the shoes.
Those are your workout shoes?
Yes, they are.
And he's got like these little 5-pound dumbbells.
Right.
And they're crossing each other when he's got them laid down on the floor. It's like you go into the room that where we have like our exercise stuff. Crap's all over the place. Weights are all over the place.
Sure.
The machines are all half undone where the kids have been playing
mm-hmm.
on. His stuff all very neat, but that's not the worst.
No.
The worst had to be. No, there's a time.
Right.
There's a time for the worst between his basement. Now, our basement, I'm sure, is like yours, Mike, and like all regular people.
Yeah.
The basement is the room in the house where you just shove all the junk.
Storage area.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We have that.
You go into Buzz's. Buzz's basement and storage area. All the boxes neatly one on top of the other. And every box has got like a sticker on it with Buzz's neat handwriting going, you know, like... travel logs,
right?
He's got a box of those DJ tapes, pants from this era, shirts from this era, but that's not the worst.
What?
You go into his workbench, okay? You got like a little Bob Vila area?
Right, I do. Very proud of it.
You walk in, you would not know that the man's ever done any work, because it looks like something, again, that should be in a museum. Where there's the workbench.
Does he have power tools?
Yes, and they're all perfectly hanging on the little hooks, which are each...
And clean?
Yes, oh, absolutely. You can
clean
note
too.
This table.
That's right.
And they're all equally, like, 3 inches apart, everything in its place.
So when you, like, punch a hole in your wall for drywall, like you want to hang something up, do you, like, clean off the little drill head and the screwdriver head and then vacuum up the dust from the drywall?
And the carpets.
Always leave the campsite neater than you found it.
Jesus Christ. His carpets.
So true.
We talked about the carpets when we left. We said, do you believe, and they have cats.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have cats, but you should see their carpets. Like, brand new carpeting. And then Buzz is walking me around and he's saying, you see all these doorknobs? They're all brand new. Brand new, very clean doorknobs. You see all of the outlets? You see where you're plugging the outlets? All brand new. They're all brand new. See this lighting fixture? Brand new. Put it. Look at it. Very modern. Very nice. And you must have said to me 10 times, have I told you all of the doorknobs I replaced? Brand new doorknobs.
Brand new.
Proud of that.
So you've really improved the property since you moved into it.
I've tried, yes. Tried to, you know, make it a little more modern, a little cleaner.
A little more you.
Sure.
So we were generally feeling pretty bad about ourselves after spending a couple hours in Buzz's house.
It's depressing, isn't it?
We went to dinner, and then the last thing I have to tell you about, we're sitting at dinner. We went to a nice Thai restaurant on Saturday night. And I have to give Frida some credit here.
Mm-hmm.
She does know how to stir it up.
Yes, she does.
We're sitting there, having a nice dinner, talking. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Frida says, how long have you two been together? And Buzz says, you know, of course, like the perfect romantic thing. This past Valentine's Day was our 25th Valentine's together.
That's true. More gratuitous applause.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just sitting there going, oh, Jesus, Mr. Perfect. Clean house.
There
you
is,
know,
God.
25 years. Then Frida says, out of all the time you've been together...
Mm-hmm.
Every couple's had ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had our ups. You're talking about me and her. We've had our ups and downs.
Right.
What was the one year that was really not that great? Okay?
there's a good conversation.
She says that to Buzz and Marcia. And they think about it. Mm-hmm. Now they're thinking about
that
it.
That is so your wife, too. I can see her saying that, too.
We're chewing,
it was going too well, wasn't it?
We're chewing our food. And then she goes, well, what do you think? And Marcia says, she sits and she goes, well, I got to be honest. They've all been pretty great. I can't come up with a bad one. And I looked at Buzz, and I knew Buzz had one. I said, oh, well, I know Buzz has a year. And she looked at him, she gave me like a dirty look, and he said, well, 1978. And then started a little snipping between the Burbanks.
Well, which was the aforementioned goal.
Yes. And then Marcia mentioned that there was some girl that worked at a radio station in Philadelphia, and Buzz worked at a radio station
there you
in
go.
Philadelphia. And
right.
Fortunately, Buzz wasn't Jewish because she didn't date out of her religious phrase, but there had been some tension there. And then, you know, you had the chance to get out of that.
Right.
But then you had to mention, like, you came back and...
Well, there was also 1982.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, you're 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, no, just one, I think.
Just one.
No, you mentioned the second year, though.
Well, he's got to modify. You know, they probably went home that night and modified it a little bit. I mean, that's the way it works. That's right. So it was just too much of a perfect evening, and your wife will stir the soup a little bit when that goes on.
She absolutely did. But then I noticed your wife stirred the soup right back. Now, this was a little undercurrent that had been playing at this dinner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Frida says, just think about what's the year that you've had that wasn't perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then Marcia says, after we go through this, Buzz's wife says, well... We remember when you two split up, and you know, because you know, Frieda and I separated one
time briefly, yeah.
And Marcia says, well, you know, we got the reports back, you know, that she's going to a concert with somebody, and he's going to a concert with somebody, and at that point, I don't know if you were recognized, but I gave you a look like,
I know,
you see what's happening here?
I couldn't believe
it
either.
My wife fired the first shot, your wife is pissed off, now your wife is going to fire back, because what happens is Marcia says this, and Frieda says, well, I don't even think I went to a concert when we were separated. Marcia says, well, you know how people like to talk, and you know people like talking about him, and we got the call that you two have been separated. It's like, I see.
It's a little festive there. Add a little cayenne pepper to the evening.
That's my wife for you.
That's what happens when you bring up stuff
but
like that.
She's but she's happy when that happens. She likes to have it, a dynamic of...
She does.
She likes that.
She likes making it exciting.
It made for interesting conversation. I think, you know, I don't think there were any hard feelings about the end of the evening.
No, not at all.
Not between my wife and I. And
well, outside of the fact that your house was so...
But see, damn, and even the fruit cup, that's the last thing I got to say. We have to do a break. The fruit cup, okay, that we went back to Buzz's for dessert. Okay,
right.
The perfect couple, of course. We went over there, and they go, we know you're not eating sweets for Lent, so we have wonderful fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit was like...
That's so thoughtful, though.
Where
that's
did
so
you,
funny.
Where
that
did
is
you,
so you, right
Where
there.
Did you go to find this fresh fruit? And every cube the fruit was cubed. Right. Every cube of the same size. Every cube, like you had a little cubing thing back there.
Thanks to the grocers at Giant Deli. That's how that was so neatly cubed.
It certainly seemed more perfect than the stuff you get at a Giant food store.
Yeah, they probably did that 6 hours in the morning, though, getting ready for that.
No, just picked it up at the store that day, along with cleaning the house, because we knew we were going to have company. And I've been to your house, and your house is clean.
My house is a pigsty. And I guarantee if we went to your house right now...
Your house is not that bad.
My house is a total pigsty. Well, I swear to God.
Poker, you know, outside of the fire. I mean,
when they set my house on fire.
It was pretty nifty, I thought.
Well, you know, it's like hiding behind the...
Everything swept in the corner.
Right.
You know, like, open this, like our house, too. You open the certain... You know, there's always that one room.
Yeah, well,
you know, say, hey, the house looks great. Don't go in there!
Well, maybe more than one room. So that's all we talked about the whole way home. It's like we said, hey, we had a good time. Yeah. We really miss socializing with Buzz and Marcia. Yada, da, da. Can you believe how clean their house was? You think it's always that clean? Yes. Well, they don't have children, you know. Well, I know. Well, blah, 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 blah.
I could send an almost 2-year-old and almost 4-year-old over there, and you have baby carrots all over your carpet.
You know, that's fine. I can pick them up.
Walked in, and I'm just like sitting there, and I look baby carrots all day. Baby carrots over a, like, it looked like a football field. Just spread out there, all in a little different, and the bag, you know, and now the 2-year-old with the strength to open the refrigerator. So, forget about
chaos.
It.
Chaos.
Forget. I mean, what's the point? You know what I'm going to do? I'm taking up the carpeting. We're just going to walk on plywood.
Oh, in his bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Meticulous.
The bathrooms? Okay, first off, he's got the organizers in every bathroom.
Right.
And it's like, I'm sure in your bathroom, same as in ours, Mike, there's like hair on the floor and half a soap and like all the shampoos and junk are open up.
And don't even get me to the part between the little bowl thing and the seat and the and where the back is,
the tank,
you know, that area back in
the
there.
The crud.
That should be maintained.
That isn't.
But it isn't.
Join the club.
You know,
it's the best of Don and Mike.
That's it.